Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, May 16th, 2016. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Our participant code is 385-698. If anyone would like to email a question, you can email them to questions, plural, S, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, tonight's scripture reading we're going to be looking at. I'm not sure whether I read this before or not, but it's great verses anyway, so we're going to read them tonight. Kind of running late and didn't really get time to choose a Bible verse, so I figured Proverbs has got a lot of good stuff, and I just jump in there. But anyway, we're going to look at Proverbs tonight, chapter 8, verses 1 through 19. I think we're going to read that far. I'm not sure, but we'll see where we go. Wisdom. Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rules, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I think I'll stop right there. That's a good place to stop. That was verse 17. Okay, so that was Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Okay, let's see what we got. First of all, Brent is not going to be with us tonight unless he was able to show up. If you're here, Brent, let us know. But I did get a message that he's not going to be able to be with us tonight. He did mention last week he'd be traveling, and he wasn't sure whether he'd be able to participate. But if he comes in and wants to participate and finds time in his travels, he can just pipe in. Meanwhile, we'll move on with other things. I want to talk tonight about the Committee of Safety a bit, but before we do that, let me see. Gary, are there any questions out there that people might have sent in?
Yes. We have questions. Is it possible, or could you explain, law inequity as it relates to the Constitution? In other words, should the due process procedure be followed when applying equity law to an individual?
Yeah, due process is a necessity. It is, without due process, we have no liberty. Without due process, we don't have a Bill of Rights. Without due process, we don't even have a Constitution. Without a due process, we have an out-of-control judiciary, an out-of-control executive, and even an out of control legislature. And gee whiz, I think that's exactly what we have these days, because they believe the due process is something they don't have to consider. And that's our struggle. That's our big battle, and that's where we're at in the courts. Is it's all about due process and jurisdiction, and courts of equity and courts of law are both under common law. The Constitution is clear, particularly Article 6 of the Constitution, which makes clear what the law of the land is. And the law of the land is common law. It is the Constitution. It is the Bill of Rights. And both of those documents are common law documents. And the Supreme Court has said many times, and it also you find this many places, that it's often brought up, that is, and it's been since the beginning, that you can't really even understand the Constitution without the common law. And that's because if you go into, you know, the discussions concerning the Constitution, and you read, or you, matter of fact, we have the tapes, you can listen in on the tapes, which we have both in writing, the originals and tapes, and trying to remember what they were called, the Federalist Papers. There's the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And there is the discussion that created our Constitution. The creation of the Constitution that was hammered out was really put together through the Federalist Papers. Or we have tapes of these things up online. You can listen to them. But the Anti-Federalist came out a little late. But they were concerned. They did get the attention of a lot of the individuals, and a good chunk of the states refused to sign without agreeing upon a Bill of Rights to be added. And they agreed, and 2 years after the signing of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights was added. And I'm going all the way through this because this is the important part of common law. I believe that they realized if they can tie down these people with the chains of the Constitution, ultimately being the Bill of Rights. You know, the Constitution explains the power and the authority we've given to the three branches, but the Bill of Rights really ties them down. Don't mess with our guns. Don't mess with our free speech. You can't take our due process. Our jurisdiction is common law. Mm-hmm. It's guaranteed. The right of the grand jury, the right of trial by jury, all of this you find in the Bill of Rights. And so it was an excellent solution for the places where the Constitution was weak, and then it bound them down to really on a way to interpret. You can't interpret those the Constitution without the capstone Bill of Rights, which, of course, is also part of the Constitution. Even the Declaration of Independence is part of our Constitution. That is the foundation of our Constitution. And when you read the introduction in the Declaration of Independence, pretty much the beginning of the Constitution, you know, really lays out exactly what was mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. So what is equity and what is law? Equity and law. Well, the main court, of course, is the court of law. It runs and operates according to common law. The word law, at law, in law, means common law, that which proceeds according to common law. That's Black's Law and many other places you will find that conclusion. Statutes are not law. They could become law. As a matter of fact, the Constitution does give the authority to make certain statutes law. And, of course, those statutes that become law are only statutes that we gave them the authority to write statutes concerning certain things, and that is dictated particularly in Article 1. And so if you go through Article 1, Section 8, 9, and 10 particularly very carefully, that's where they're really tied down to how far they can go as far as creating any legislation that becomes code or statute. So government is ruled and run by code and statute. As a matter of fact, you know, code and statutes is like really the process by which they operate. It is also details any specific penalties, should they come outside of jurisdiction, should they operate in certain ways under color of law. So all of that is our law. But nowhere in the Constitution did we give the authority to our legislators to legislate law that would control our behavior. But common law is clear on what kind of behavior we should be. And it really boils down to the two great commandments, which we read about in the New Testament. But, of course, in the Old Testament, we read about the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and so on. But anyway, now what's the difference between equity and law? Now, equity is also under common law because the Constitution says so. The difference between equity courts and courts of law is that the people in the form of a trial jury is the tribunal and decides according to principles under common law. Whereas in a equity court, we're giving the authority and the job to one individual who is called a judge in that court, or justice, which is probably a better word for him, but a judge or a justice, whereas in the other court he would be sitting as a magistrate. The law says that all judges are magistrates, so they can wear both caps. Some people are just magistrates, and they're only able to sit in a they're supposed to only be able to sit in a court of law. But when a judge sits in a court of equity, he has to act and operate under the principles of common law, and so he has to really follow the rules of jurisprudence, the American jurisprudence. He doesn't get the opportunity, he or she doesn't get the opportunity to really judge an item of himself. He is to execute the judgments that have been made already under jurisprudence, in our case, American jurisprudence, under the principles of common law. And of course, there is a fix should he make a mistake, and that fix is you can appeal it. And there's two appellate systems in the state, and then you can move it up into the federal, if the federal will hear it, and right up into the United States Supreme Court, if they will hear it. But their job, of course, is to bring it back into jurisprudence, American jurisprudence. Unfortunately, it hasn't been working very well that way. And if we had honest judges and we had judges that we can hold deal with when they're in bad behavior, and bad behavior is any time they make a ruling or a decision outside of the Constitution, anything out of their jurisdiction, out of their authority. Now, under common law, there is no appeal. It's the decision of the people, and the United States Supreme Court has ruled on this many times, that they don't have the authority to overrule the people. When you have a jury making a decision, you can't appeal that decision. Now, if there was someone's unalienable right that was violated by that decision, that's a different story. The Supreme Court can hear that, consider that. They have to make the case in order for them to take the case in to hear it, and if they discover that the jury did something to violate someone's unalienable rights, then they can overturn only that part. Okay, they can fix that part. So whenever you hear of a hung jury, there's no such thing as a hung jury, ultimately. If a jury is hung and they can't make a decision, they walk. Of course, they make something else out of it. If a jury makes a decision, no one can overrule it. They can't overturn that. It's done. They can't change it. And that's the law. So that's the big difference. And so when you're working in criminal law, criminal courts, and in common law, there's no difference between criminal and equity. It's all in the same place, so to speak, except for the way it operates, one with a judge and one with a tribunal. So the decision is final in a tribunal, a court of law, or court of court of law, I guess you would call it. But, of course, all criminal cases must be tried by a jury, cannot be tried by a judge. It just can't be done. And when they do, when they make these summary judgments and they determine someone's going to go to jail for a certain amount of time, that's a violation of everything that we believe in. Due process has not been served. Now, equity courts hear only contract concerns, disagreements between people. Two people can have a disagreement, and one can take one to court to sue them. There could be a contract involved. There could be a number of different things. But those are equity court cases. And anything over $20, one of them could decide, I want a trial by jury. And they're in a trial by jury, and that's that. Other than that, then the equity courts would hear it. when I was in business as a contractor, I would much, if it operated correctly, I much would rather a court of equity, because you can get through the system a lot quicker. And as long as you can trust in the system that they are, you know, truly making the decisions according to law, then you'll be okay. But we can't trust that anymore. We cannot trust the system as it exists for these people to make decisions on anything we're doing. So we would always really want to pull the jury until we get to the other side things and bring the principals back and put these people back in the box and chain them down with the chains of the Constitution, as Jefferson said. Any other questions there?
Well, there's another one along the same vein. Let me read the question. It's more of your opinion. In the 10th Amendment, it is clear that if power is not delegated to the federal government, it is left up to the state or the people. The courts are granted to the federal government through Article 3. Therefore, all of the courts in the states not authorized by Congress, which are most, are not authorized to be open, or they are unlawful. Your opinion?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Are they saying that the state courts are not is it saying that the state courts are not constitutional or has no authority?
The state courts, it's saying that...
Read that part again.
In the 10th Amendment, it is clear that if the power is not delegated to the federal government, it is left up to the state or the people. The courts are granted to the federal government through Article 3. Therefore, all of the courts in the states not authorized by Congress, which are most, are not authorized to be open, or they are unlawful.
Well, no, that would not be true at all, because look at the judicial process inside of each state. Each state has, look at, the state is set up just the same way the federal government is set up, with three branches, okay? And so, and each state stands on its own, and they have the right, of course, to create a judiciary, and they did create a judiciary. There are three powers that are given in our constitutions, also just like in the federal constitution. We differ in certain places, but generally speaking, that's pretty much the same way. Clearly, the federal courts are not going to be hearing contract disputes. They're not going to be hearing cases where someone murdered somebody, robbery cases, and other kind of equity court cases. They're not going to hear those cases, because that's not what they're to hear. Article 3, Section 2, says that the judicial power shall extend to all cases of law and equity arising. Hey, there's a lot of noise out there. Okay. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and the treaties made, and so on. So anything that arises under this Constitution, the only time you go to a federal court is for cause. And what they mean by cause is that there is a constitutional cause. If you go into a state court, town court, county court, village court, city court, any court, okay, and they all have a certain amount of authority there, and they're given to that authority by the legislators of the state. But when you go into those courts, if they violate your right of due process, which they do all the time, I mean, look at either all of these cases that we're trying to help people in with mortgages, okay, and even tax foreclosure cases, and cases where they come and take our children, cases where people are put in jail without a jury and under summary judgments. All of that is lacking due process, and that's why we do a habeas corpus, and a habeas corpus on most of these kind of cases can remove people. The mortgage cases are a little different, because they never really end up in court. It's just that they file it with the court, and really it's kind of a strange thing. But we've found a way to deal with that particular problem. But nevertheless, all of these cases lack the process, due process. And therefore, when they violate your unalienable right of due process, that's a violation, a constitutional violation. And so therefore, you can take that into a federal court, and you can move that case into federal court, and it's called for cause, okay? So they must give you due process, and that would be the Fifth Amendment. So these courts also are out of control. They all run under chancery. The federal courts are running under chancery. The state courts are running under chancery. And many of the other courts are running under chancery. I know in some of these town courts and the county courts particularly, the towns operate in things that take them outside of the common law. For instance, whenever your property is removed from you for taxes and they do a tax foreclosure, it's called a process in rem. And you will find that there'll usually be a code within your county, and I don't understand how the counties can come up and make codes because there's no authority for that. But anyway, there may be authority to create the codes to control the county government. So maybe I'm in error there, but I would imagine that would be the state's job is to really put something uniform out there for the counties. But in any event, they will operate under certain codes called, for instance, under the process called REM, R-E-M, that's I-N-R-E-M, in REM. And that's a seizure of property without due process. And that's how they do tax foreclosures. That's how they do also mortgage foreclosures. It's all done in a process called in rem, which is seizure of property without due process. And for somehow they think by using those magic words and referring to that code that they have the authority to do it. And they don't. That's a violation of law. You can move that into a federal court if it's necessary to get your due process. They had no right or authority to do that. So. But definitely states had the authority, and they did, they do, to create the three branches of government, which again, you know, is the executive branch and the legislative branch and the judicial branch. And they are they're a sovereign country, and each state is independent of every other, but we've come together as a union, and we all agree as we enter into that union, that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Anything that violates the United States Constitution is null and void. And that's what Article 6 says. Maybe we should read it. We've read this many times, but it's always worth reading again. And it's Article 6, Clause 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made pursuant thereof, and that's according to, you know, Article 1, Section 8, 9, and 10, the creation of codes and statutes, which becomes law. That's lawful. This Constitution, the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and the treaties made of which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. So they cannot stand. If a state constitution is not in harmony with the United States the Constitution, then that part of that Constitution is null and void. So any law also that is made by any state legislator, if it violates the Constitution in any way, then it is not law. And again, thankfully, we have the Bill of Rights, which again gives us the unalienable rights. It doesn't give us the unalienable rights. It protects our unalienable rights. It makes a statement of our unalienable rights. And therefore, anything that violates our unalienable rights, one state cannot ban guns. They can't say you can't have a gun. That's protected by the Second Amendment. A state can't say, well, here's a free speech zone, but you can't free speech here, but you can over there, or whatever silliness they do there with that stuff. That's a violation of your unalienable right, your right to assemble, your right of free speech, the right of militia, the right to protect yourself, to be armed, an armed militia, which is we the people. And it has authority. Anything else out there, Gary?
Nope, that is it.
That's it. Okay. Okay, as I mentioned, Brent's not going to be with us tonight. I'm sure he's going to be back with us next week, and we'll pick up on our subject of militia. The big thing that we want to focus in on tonight really is the committees of safety. And I want to really instill on the people on how important this is. I don't know if anybody has noticed in the past week or so, we've put up a new page, and it's called the Committee of Safety. You can see it up on the blue bar, far right side, right next to members, the second from the last on the right. And by the way, we're going to be redoing this bar and trying to make things a little more logical so things will be easier to find. And we're going to try to create also a site map or a site plan so that people will be able to look at it, something, and at the site plan and really try to find what they're looking for. But we'll do the best we can with that so people can navigate around our site a little better. We have a lot of stuff up here. And people need to be able to comb through it and see what it is that they're interested in to learn and see. So, but anyway, we created a page called the Committee of Safety. We put a lot of information up here. We put a lot of work into this. And right now, since we put this page up, which was only a few days ago, I think, we have on the top of the page, our goal is to create 3,133 committees of safety to save America. Presently, 12 committees of safeties have been formed. So since we put this up, already 12 committees of safeties have been formed. I want to speak to everyone that's hearing the sound of my voice, whether it's live or Memorex, you know, on MP3 later on. Everyone needs to move for committees of safeties in their own counties. Everyone. Everybody should get on that process right away and go to our register page. You'll see click here to register your committee of safety. If you click on that, you go to a page where you can put your first name, your state, your county, your first name, and your phone number. And you'll be the contact for that county. So once someone puts that into the registry, people can go to the registry to see if there's a committee of safety to join in their county. And if there isn't, then they can click on that button and be the creator of the Committee of Safety in their county. And so once you take on that obligation to do so, you're now obligated to do so, and you need to spend a week or two or three, you know, planning, preparing for a meeting, and get a first meeting going with as many people as possible. Show them the video or the PowerPoint video on the Committee of Safety, which is here on this page. You can watch it for yourself to see the power and the authority of the Committee of Safety and why you need to create one. And also you can download this and put it on a projector and on a screen or whatever in at a Liberty Group meeting or whatever, and introduce people. It's only about 24 minutes or so. Introduce people to this Committee of Safety process. People need to understand where the Committee of Safety came from. The United States of America was created by Committee of Safeties. I never knew this. And from studying on this and realizing, every one of our founding fathers belonged to a Committee of Safety. And this was the way that they were organizing, coming up to the law, because there were problems and in their own communities, and the government wasn't doing their job. It sounds familiar. And so, and things were a little dangerous, so they came together, people, and they created a Committee of Safety to protect themselves. Inside of a Committee of Safety, they created what's called a Committee of Correspondence. And a Committee of Correspondence is to correspond with the people, to explain to the people what the Committee of Safety is so that they would participate and give them knowledge and understanding, and people would pick up and either participate and or understand the authority of it. And it would build up power that way. Another very important role of the Committee of Safety is to contact with people in their other counties. And back in those days, they did it in the colonies. So there originally it was like 13, I think it was created like 13 original committees of safety. And then that was broken up into different districts and stuff. We're broken up in counties. So we each county has so many towns and so many villages and cities and whatever. So it makes up a full county. Example, Dutchess County, where I live, has 19 towns, if I recall, and two cities. So we have 21 communities. And so we want to get the word out to all 21 communities and eventually hopefully get at least one representative from each one of those communities. And we want to deal with the problems in our whole county. on a county level and on a town level or city level. And the Committee of Safety is for working that process out. It's got a lot of power and authority, and there's a process and a way to form it and to give it power and to start communicating with your sheriff and communicate with maybe the fire chiefs in each of the towns and or cities, and communicating with the town boards or the mayors and so on. And then start moving towards obedience to the law, to the common law, to the Constitution, and also move towards preparing where the people are to take care of emergencies. If a situation comes up, the people need prepared, be prepared, and the people need to deal with it. We don't want outside sources. We don't want foreign troops on our in our counties. We don't want federal government in our counties. We want we the people, dealing with our problems. Our assets within our county belong to we the people. And when we have a surplus, we'll share it with the county next door, and they'll share their surplus with us. And it's called bartering or trading. And this is how we can keep things going in the worst of times. They set up a communication process. As a matter of fact, if I remember that, I'll bring it back. But anyway, they had a communication process. Okay, Paul Revere, that's who I was thinking of. Paul Revere carried a note that he was he was part of the committee of correspondence and carried messages from one committee to another. In other words, from one colony to another colony, or even from town to town, to share the information. So he would deliver the message from one town to another town to another town. So the message that the British was coming was not the first message that Paul Revere was carrying. He was with the Committee of Correspondence. He was the communications between the other committees, between the people. And so that's what we need to do. We need to get the communications, the correspondence, Committee of Correspondence, these are subcommittees, communicating with other committees of correspondences from other counties, or communicating with liberty-minded people in other counties to encourage them to make their own Committee of Safety and to take control of their county and their towns and so on. So this is an extremely, extremely important thing that we need to be doing. If we knew about this earlier, we would have executed it earlier, but we didn't, of course. But we know about it now. And so we need to move with haste, because this indeed is nothing, absolutely nothing, that the New World Order can throw at we the people if we are united across the nation with committees of safeties. Okay? One to another, locking arms with the military strength of we the people, and with the authority of we the people. And so we got a lot of ideas on this page, and people who might want to write a paper or something to put another idea up here, you know, they're welcome to submit that. There's a place to do that. You could submit that to Robert. You'll find his name and number here up on this page. If anyone would like to post any helpful instructional documents, please, below, like below, please contact the COS committee chairman and national coordinator Robert, and his phone number is here, and you can give him a call and make a connection with him and share with him a one-page document that will help people. We got someone working on communications right now that is going to be drawing up a document concerning how we the people can communicate through ham radios and other radio systems, and also even suggest a place for all the people to have access to a very inexpensive handheld radio, which will tie in to ham radios. Now, I don't understand too much about it, so I'm not going to speak too much more. Once that paper is written and different things are laid out as where you can maybe purchase different things, you know, people will work that out. But you will probably find a ham operator in every single county in America. They're already existing. And if they become aware of the Committee of Safety, rest assured, you know they're going to join you. Because that's what they're all about. They're about creating safety in the community, getting the message out. They'd love to be the communicator for the Committee of Safety. They'd love to be part of that Committee of Safety. And and this is where your sheriff comes in. This is where real communications comes with the sheriff. And we got a paper on how to deal with the sheriff to bring him into the Committee of Safety. We also got a paper up here which I believe is on this page. It's also found on the Power of the County Sheriff page. But it's here. Let me see if I can find it. It's something with the sheriff. Let's see. Call the sheriff. No. Okay. Pretty sure it was on this page. I don't. Oh, the duty of the sheriff. Here it is. It's a download. Duty of the sheriff. And that, I think, is a video. I know that we did another one. I don't see it here. Oh, it is. It's under Committee of Safety Documents. And if you count down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The ninth one down, it says Power and Authority of the County Sheriff. Now, that's a 35-page document. And this, you're going to go talk to your sheriff. This is the document to give your sheriff. This tells the sheriff everything about who he is and what he needs to be doing. It explains the law reasonably well, I think, and his power and authority. So if you're going to visit with the sheriff or have him come and visit with you at the Committee of Safety, you're going to want to visit with him first, introduce yourself, spend 5 minutes, give him this document to make another arrangement to come back and talk some more, and or make arrangements for him to come and sit in on the Committee of Safety. And obviously, the day that the sheriff comes to sit on the Committee of Safety, you want to focus in on things concerning the sheriff and what you'd like for him to do for us as we the people, and what his job and authority is and what you expect of him. You'll also want to do the same thing with maybe the fire chiefs or any representative they send from the fire departments, because that's an emergency service, isn't it? So you would want to connect with all of the fire departments within the county. I know often there's more than one in a certain county, but I think they're centrally run. Maybe not. Maybe this is run by the town. I don't know. Well, as a matter of fact, they are. What am I saying? They're not run by the county. They're run by the towns. So each town, in the case of, for instance, Dutchess County, there'd be 21 fire departments and therefore 21 chiefs or some representative of the fire department. You know, make a plan on what you're going to talk to that person about. You're going to want to go visit the town boards and talk with them about Agenda 21, talk with them about Common Core, and get some resolutions going, get some consensus, invite these people to the Committee of Safety to come listen to the concerns of the people and the process of what we're doing as the Committee of Safety. So again, it is extremely important for us to prepare for the emergency. And that's the big part of the Committee of Safety, is preparing for that emergency. You know, food and water, shelter. And towns and cities not too far from big cities, okay, towns, villages, and even small cities not too far from the large cities like New York City. It's only about 60 miles south of me. Those people, a lot of people in an emergency will be leaving cities and coming up into, the more country area, the small towns and so on. And we need to be prepared to receive them. They may be coming up and desperate, and it could be a danger to us to some degree, but if they're received plans and preparations are made, you know, and for the town hall, or schools, fire departments where people could be put up and assisted with food and water, and also put to work to work back into the community to give back. They're going to receive, they're going to give back, and to work together to, in order to get past the state of emergency. We know in all likelihood it's coming. Hopefully we'll be able to bypass it, but it's pretty slim that we're going to be able to. But we need to be prepared for this. So I'm calling out to all of the leaders, you know, even just members, and you yourself are a leader also in your own community. So, but we want to really push forward towards all of the national leadership. You need to get out here, and you need to click on click here to register your Committee of Safety and register your county and get a Committee of Safety going. I'm calling out to all of the state coordinators to do the same. I'm calling out to all of the county organizers to do the same. I'm calling out to all of the members to do the same. Get one started in your county. Even if you can't maintain it and get really heavily involved in it, participate, get it started. show the PowerPoint video to to different groups within your county. There's lots of liberty groups in every county across America. Show these videos to them. Get them excited about them. Let them get together and start a committee of safety. You're going to help them to start it. Let them elect a board, which is usually a chairman and a co-chair and a secretary and a treasurer. Maybe there's other members, but generally that's it, and or the main figures of it. And once they create that, then you find out, well, okay, who is going to be responsible? They may appoint somebody, or it'll be one of those four people. Who's going to be responsible to receive calls from people who might want to join? Because we're going to put the name of this committee, which we have already, up on the registry. Then you can change your name. You can go to one of the national leaders and have them change the name of the first name of the person that's going to receive that information. And also their phone number, whatever phone number they want to put up there, okay? But we all need to initiate it. I initiated mine in my county. I'm going to be speaking in the next few weeks at some liberty groups and get them going. I'm going to be working with some other counties around me to do the same. I'll have to find the time to go up there and do it. We'll go up some evening and we'll give some, we'll show the PowerPoint video to groups, and then we'll assist them in getting their committees right there and then. Start it right now. Let's get it going. Choose a chairman. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. But I don't have the time personally to be a chairman or secretary or treasurer or any of those things, and many of us may not have that time. So you can pass that on to someone else as soon as they create the board. When the board is created, pass that to them and let them find the person that'll be the contact on the registry, and you can change the name and the phone number. Or maybe you want to take on an authority position there. Maybe you want to be that connection to your county and a communicator for your county through the registry for those who are interested and live in your county and find you through our registry. You know, so fine, so be it. Whatever participation you want to have in this, you do it. But everyone, all of us, all members, everybody need to get out here and put your state, your county, your first name, and your phone number, and be that contact until you can pass it on to someone else, or be that contact for your committee of safety, whatever it is you want to do. But get it started and get it started now. And then we will, we're going to talk. We got a lot of stuff up here, how to start. I think we did something already on the committee of correspondence, but if we haven't, we will. Let's develop a committee of correspondence as soon as possible. Get going out to the towns and making sure you got a membership in every town that are coming in to be part of this committee of safety. And going out to the counties and connecting and, organizing and communicating. So, again, extremely important. We need to do this thing, and we need to do it now. We need to have every county in America connected with communications, organization, sharing of the assets, the whatever it is that you have in your county, the surpluses that you can share with another county and they with you as a trade in times of emergency. Let's do what has to be done. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the work of the people. It's your duty to do it. And so let's get out there and let's do it. Okay, that brings me to the end of that. Gerard, are you here? You're going to have to unmute yourself. I think you had some noise going on and I muted you, so you'll have to hit *6 to unmute yourself there. And you may be muted on Skype, so you'll want to unmute yourself. Matter of fact, I see that you are muted. I'm going to unmute you for you. Hold on. There you go. You've been unmuted here. You there, Gerard?
Yeah.
Okay. You're on the panel too?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll pass it over to you. I'm going to be in and out for the next half hour or so, but I'll pass it over to you. Go right ahead. If you want to start the Q&A.
Let me start
the Q&A before you get going, and then you can pick up when you're ready, okay? So Q&A is going to start.
Okay.
*6 to get in. Go ahead, Rod. You got it. My hands are off.
Okay. Before I start taking people out of the queue, I have a couple things I would like to say. I'm going to give you a little different perspective, my perspective, because I grew up in the country. for the most part. You know, once I was 11 years old, we moved to the country. And country people are generally, most of the time, prepared for lots of eventualities. Everybody keeps extra stuff in the country. You know, you're out here in a rural area, and sometimes you expect the electricity to go out and things like that. So there was always a higher level of preparedness in the suburbs and in the country than there is in a city. Now, our government has some disaster preparedness because they're expected to. And because people have grown accustomed to the government taking care of them. But they do have a certain duty to the public to make safety and certain places to FEMA plan. As much as we go, oh, FEMA in camps. Well, I was on a town board, and so I connected with these outfits for preparedness and safety. And are out there, and all there are others, and there are networks and already set up, especially in the rural communities, in the cities. And if you look at the government websites and look at what they tell you to carry for storms and things, pretty good for most things anyway. And I don't know, you know, people listen to these things, but it's important that they pay attention to that for anything. So as far as the committees of safety go, look at our forefathers formed them because they were having trouble with the government, you know, because they couldn't be heard. So it was more of a political thing than anything. I mean, we're looking at things in a modern sense and how dependent we've become on technology.
Hey, Gerard, you there?
Technology, so...
Gerard, we fell away for a second or two, but you might want to pick up. Listen, are you on the computer that has the power supply problem?
No.
No? Okay. Because you're coming in breaking up a little. I thought that was the cause of it, but good. Maybe it's just a bad connection.
Well, I think my whole connection out here is bad.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, just that we lose you a little bit here and there. Go right ahead.
So anyway, the point I want to make is, look at the committees of safety, you know, the first one that we came in contact with was in Burns, Oregon, because they had a problem, and everybody knows what that is. So, you know, look at I think the committees of safety are more important now than afterwards, because we're under a certain duress right now. Look, when push comes to shove, and we have to support each other, at least the people outside of the cities and the people in the cities need to prepare. But I think people are going to rise up too and do the stuff, and we're going to survive, and we're going to put all our resources together, because that's what Americans do. And we've proved it time and time again during other natural disasters and even man-made disasters. Right now, the committees of safety are things that, you know, look, we have local government and national government that's getting out of control. And what do you do about that? Well, the committees of safety was an answer to that. And the reason it was an answer for that was because it was outside the control of the normal levers of government. And that's why, you know, not administrators, but the government in Oregon was nervous when the people started that, because here's a meeting of people discussing local problems that they don't have control over, because there's no town board there. There's no government there. And people are free to speak. You know, one of the things that they do to us at our school board meetings and things is they don't let us speak. And if you talk too much, they have the police throw you out. And this is the police state that we've grown into. Yeah. So it's going to, once it comes to a head and everybody's awake and we see what's going on and what the problem is, it's going to flush out, you know. And it's like everybody that was wringing their hands when Obama was running, and they're going, what are we going to do if he gets elected? When he got elected, I said, oh, I'm so happy he got elected. Because now all the people that were wringing their hands and sitting on their hands and worrying about him getting elected, they can't relax. They have to get out and do something, because now their nightmare came true. And this is when people started waking up, when our president started abusing his power. And, you know, look, he was given a platform. You know, he just stepped up onto the platform that he was given. And I don't see any one of these politicians being better than the other one, because everybody wants to have an argument about Republican versus Democrat. Guess what? They both moved the box forward to get us where we are here today. So that's all baloney. The thing is what's the bottom line here, and where are we going, and how, and what are we going to do about it? We have people suffering every day with the CPS and with the mortgages and with judges and you know, not giving people due process. These are happening right now. It's almost like everybody thinks that you know, they're waiting for the end of the world or whatever. Guess what? We're in it now. We're in wherever we're going to end up. We have to go through this trial, and how we come out of this depends on how we handle it. Now, I know some people think that it's not going to flush out without some bloodshed, and I don't know that that's necessarily true, because God works in strange ways, and he uses a remnant, and we've seen other examples in the Bible of mercy on a nation. And I have great faith that we can still come with mercy in order to alleviate. I think there's more people awake than you even realize. I'm at least in my rural community, and around here for 50 miles, I can go almost in any grocery store line and start a conversation, and 9 times out of 10 the people agree with me. That 2 years ago I wouldn't talk about the stuff I talk about out on the street. That's a good sign. And there's a lot of agents out there and psyops that want us to fear the government and fear what they're doing. I don't think they're quite as organized as they want us to believe. I think they're crumbling right now. I think it's like the statue in Daniel with the clay feet and the steel. That's us today, the latter age. And the clay is us, the people. We're made out of the land. And they built this steel thing with us, with the people. The clay was holding the steel together. And what happens in the vision? The clay falls out and the steel crumbles and the whole statue tumbles. Well, we're falling out now. We're not going to hold this system together any longer. And now we realize that we've been asleep. And when the people's heads come up and they realize how deep and corrupt we have become, and I say we have become because it's all of us. It's not only the guys that made the money and pulled this off, but we were sleeping too. And we let them get away with it because we allowed that job to go to somebody. We had to sit there and watch the television and go to the stupid town board meeting, right? And so I think it was Jefferson or one of them that said, those people who refuse to get involved in politics will be run by their inferiors who do. And that's a lesson, and I believe that. And so I think that there's going to be major stuff going on that we need to pay attention to as this goes along. And I think we have to be careful about all the psyops and all the stuff they're telling us. What I've observed is usually what the managed media is telling, what's on the television, what's on CNN, what's on CBS, what's on BBC and all these other things, you can almost, probably 98% of the times, figure the opposite is true. Because that's what the news has come to. And the average person in the street, guess what? They know it. They're not listening to that crap anymore. And so that's a good thing. So I want to give people hope that and to open their eyes and look at what is happening and how we get together. We have our committees of safety. we file papers in the court. We open up a case. We put those papers in there. And look at every paper that National Liberty Alliance put in. It is written to the T of the Constitution. It is fundamentally correct, and nobody can argue that. Nobody. It's done exactly the way it's supposed to be, and it stands as an example to history that this is what we were pushing, and this is what we wanted to get back to, which was the original intent that men were not supposed to be dictated to. This country was an experiment because every man was a king in this country. And my kingdom ends where your start, and certainly we didn't put a government in to control us. The government, for one thing, was supposed to protect the weak from the strong. The government wasn't supposed to be profiting off the people. The government wasn't supposed to be taking people's houses and selling them and making a profit and then making a donation to the kiddies' playground so that we feel good about the $1 million worth of property that they stole in our communities from those people who could afford it the least. You know, and if a government can come in and take from the people $500,000 in houses and turn around and put them on the auction block and turn that money into $1.2 million and then brag about it in the newspaper what a good job they're doing, and they're going to give a donation to the kiddies' playground, something's drastically wrong with America when we let that happen. That is not the job of government. You know, there was a time when if you lost your house because you didn't pay the taxes for one reason or another, and there's a lot of reasons why that can happen. I mean, sometimes there's old people and they forget to pay them, or they get sick and the family doesn't keep up. But whenever it happened, it had to be put on the block so that the town could recoup the tax money that they felt they were owed, they would only get the tax money they were owed. They weren't allowed to keep the difference between the tax money they were owed and the price of the sale. That went to the original person that owned the place. And of course they started playing games like mailing one letter to the property of record, which they already chased the people out when they did the sale. So they've got them evicted. And so they just send a notice that, oh, we have an overage on the sale, and you're entitled to the difference in the amount between the tax and what we collected, and you got 30 days to collect. Well, they don't do that anymore. Now they got a scheme going, just like the mortgages and just like all these other they securitize things, and they lump them and they lump them together. And what they do is they convert the deeds before the sale so that it's like they own them and they're selling their property. I mean, do you need to be a legal expert to understand the wrongness in this? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize what they're doing to us. And so what are we going to do about it, you know? I mean, look, if we had enforcement to go in and start arresting different people, there would be nobody left in government. There would be none of the higher-ups to run the thing. You would decimate the country overnight. If we actually could move today and do what we need to do, we'd have a problem because we would be taking people out of offices quicker than we could fill them. Part of this process that we're going through, they have to see the people's heads come up. They have to see that the people have had enough. And they don't look at once the people amass and they learn about what's really going on, and they're not depending on a managed news media to tell them, and they understand what's going on, things are going to change. The biggest thing, though, is when they discover that the people who have been asleep for many, many years, that have been pumped, this stuff has been pumped into their brains, and they have them part of this matrix. When they pull that plug out like the movie The Matrix, when they take the dream that they've been feeding them, the lie, and they lift their heads up and they realize that, my goodness, almost everything for the past 80-100 years is an out-and-out lie, that they use these wars to get us into this debt facility to give us this burden of a debt that we could never pay off. things that went against the very ideal of what it was to be America. And then America sending the corporations that run this thing, sending their economic hitmen throughout the world to get them to take loans from the IMF that they could never repay. They played the same thing with the subprime mortgages they did to countries. They gave them more loans. They promised them all kinds of stuff, and they overestimated the return, and they knew they would never be able to pay them back. They came in, they raped the resources of their country, and then they left. And Africa was hit one of the hardest hit countries. But every country has been decimated by that. And now it's time for America to be decimated because we're the last ones. They did it to Russia. They did it to every country. When the economic hitmen went into Russia to take it over, they had 10 very healthy businesses. And they ended up going down to 6 before they started back, and they gave up the communist government, and they started doing some capitalist stuff and some profit for the people because there was no incentive for anybody to do anything over there. And then the economic hitmen came in and stole their resources. And they ended up in a terrible – look at the Russian people. Everybody thinks Russia's a problem. The Russian people have been through more hard times for 80 years than anybody in America can even imagine. And I think that they're ready for a change too. I think there's lots of change in the world ready to take place. And I think that when you discover the lie that they gave us, everything, when people find out that those buildings that went down were a planned thing, and how deep the corruption went and the destruction of evidence that they used, those besides putting us into a false flag, they hid evidence. And I can talk like this now. You know why? Because you people are finally awake, most of you. And the ones that aren't, go and investigate. But you know what? Don't lose your mind. Don't get depressed. Don't be fearful. Take all that emotion and all that drive and turn it into something good. Start taking control of your communities. Start putting in local currencies. Start bartering. Look at John always said, think free, act free, be free. Remove yourself from that system. Stop telling on yourselves. Start doing more things outside of their stupid system that they got us locked down in. Just say no. Barter with each other. They cannot control us. We outnumber them 800 to 1. 800 to 1. If we can't take this country and this world back, there's something wrong with us. And we are taking it back. And it's happening as we speak. The war is now. I mean, we're having an Armageddon of the heart right now. And people have to examine themselves and understand where this is coming from and where it's going.
And people need to be collecting together in committees of safety. I just want to throw two things in here real quick. Number one, since we started talking, I see that two committees of safety has been formed as we were speaking. So anybody who is going to take on that duty of getting a committee of safety going in their county, and that's a duty. If you come out here and you put your state, your county, your contact name, and your phone number out here, then we're going to expect that you're going to go forward in your county, talk to people, and get this thing started. Whether you run with it as one of the, to try to become a chairman or something in it or not, you can pass this off to someone else once they establish a board, and we need to be doing it everywhere. And so, please, let's get moving on this. Let's make this happen quick. We did this in the beginning. We started county by county in New York. Then we started to move into the states. And then we went to county by county to each of the states and until we got the whole nation. Well, we're going to do it now with the Committee of Safety. Every single county, we need leadership. We need people. We need people to do what has to be done to save America. It starts with you at the grassroots. Take control of your neighborhood, you, with the rest of the people in your neighborhood, prepare for the emergency, take control, and then we will. There's nobody that could defeat us. And remember, look at a lot of these towns, as Gerard was saying, they already have plans, disaster plans, and different things. The Committee of Safety wants to know what the plan is. How can we make sure that the plan doesn't get hijacked by the federal government or some foreign troops that come in? We want to keep control of the people. We need the sheriff involved in this. The sheriff needs to make sure that this stays with we, the people, that our resources within our county stay within our county to feed our county, to care for our county, and the surpluses flow to our sister counties and so on and state to state. And that's how we, the people, will survive. We need to communicate and do all these things. The other thing, Gerard, I'm going to get off the mic in a second here. I don't know if Robert's available. Robert is the chairman for the putting together and pushing forward the Committee of Safety project. All the committees of safeties are completely 100% ruled by the grassroots. Once the people start it, if the people figure out what needs to be done, they connect with each other, with other committees of safety. Everybody has their unique problems, your unique situations, and you figure it out. We will share everything we can, what other committees are doing, things we know the committee should be doing, processes, how to do resolutions. I mean, we'll share all that information on this page, where people can become educated and take control of themselves at the grassroots level. But anyway, Robert is the chairman to make sure that this project moves, and he's also the main person for communicating information back and forth to and putting some suggestions and ideas together. If you want to unmute yourself, Robert, and if you have anything to say, you might want to take the mic for a short before Gerard takes it back and runs through with his open forum. You there, Robert?
I'm here. I want to say that committees of safety are very much in need for everything that we're doing. I mean, they are the answer to so much, because when the people take charge of their communities, the communities grow. They become people who are informed. They become communities that people elected to office in their communities realize that they have to start listening to the people. And when that happens, we have our country back, because when the counties have the people standing up and they're forcing the people in the offices to follow what the people are saying, to listen to the people, to pay heed to what the people want, and every county is doing that, then the counties take over telling the state what's going to happen. And when we have all the states, then we have the government. I mean, you just, when the people outnumber the government and everyone is in unity with what they want, no one can stand against us. And so, yes, it's very important that we get out there and we get the committees of safety set up and let them do their work. Give them the tools that they need and watch what they do. They'll use it for good. There may be some that try to take the groups over to use for their own agenda. But I have faith in the people. The people will control that. They will say, my voice is as important as yours. What I have to say is just as valid, and we're not going the way that you're wanting us to. They will control themselves. They will be self-policing. We just need to get out there and make the people aware of committees of safety, what they are and how they work, and that they are legal, that they go all the way back into the 1600s, and there's nothing illegal about it anywhere. And that's one of the fears is, well, I don't know whether it's legal or not. Well, you can show them that it is. Get out there, get them set up, and let's get this going. Let's take our country back. Let's have our constitutional republic back the way it's supposed to. We don't need to be fearful. We just need to bring the people together. And once they are together, we are free.
All right, thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. And just to report, another county has just signed up for a committee of safety. We now have 15 out of the 3,134 we're going to need, or 33, something like that. So come on, let's get your county signed up here, and let's get this committee of safety going. Commit to it. Let's do it. Gerard, you got the mic. You there, Gerard? You have to hit star 6 for us to hear you.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Unmute your mic. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm about ready to open up the first question, but I want to finish up by saying that this whole committee of safety thing, that the good thing about the committees of safety is they're local and they're grassroots. When you try to change a country, and you try to change a paradigm, the things that you do have to be organic to the people. When you do an organ transplant or anything else in the body, if the body thinks that it's foreign and it can't mesh with it, what's it do? It rejects it. Well, the people will do the same thing. You have outside people coming in trying to solve your problems. You know, what happens is the people can't cow to that. The committees of safety, their solutions will be local, but their results will be national and international, because they'll be organic solutions that fit the people of the communities that they live in. And we've gone far away from that by letting a big federal government control everything. So that's all I want to say about that. There's a whole lot of stuff going down, and we have to pay attention. And we have to get back to where we're supposed to be. We have to get back to that 1789 Constitution. We have to get back to real money, gold and silver money, money that can't just be digital. I mean, that's a plan from the devil, unlimited money that you can't see and you can't touch. What's that all about? Smoke and mirrors. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and open up the first questioner. And it looks like it's Robert Sperlino. Oh, what happened?
You've got those fat thumbs in there again, huh?
No, I hit next question and it...
Yeah, okay, likely
get
story.
Back in there. I'm sorry, Robert. When we see you come back up. Star 6 and then 1, right?
Well, yeah, it's star 6, and I think it'll tell you what to do after that, but star 6 to get into the queue.
Well, now that I screwed everybody's order up and shuffled the deck, here we go. This is a random deck shuffle. I'm sorry, folks. I'm gonna open this one up. I'm going to hit next question here. Okay. Eric from Georgia,
yeah.
You've been unmuted. Yes.
Okay, hey. How are you?
Good.
Good to talk with you. Did we ever find, I haven't looked and see if the number had changed, but did we find an adequate replacement for Paul Infantino? I know there was another guy who was possibly going to come up. I think his name was Paul, too. And this
Yeah. You know, that's something that the ball was kind of dropped because we got so many things going on. But look at anybody that is working with us on the level to, you know, bring some things to us that are necessities, you know, like the colloidal silver itself, gold, and different things that we need, okay? you know, we kind of expect for them to pick the ball and, you know, run with it and push with it. So I never really had made direct contact with them. I was hoping they would make contact with me, but I forgot all about it. So if they're listening in, or if anybody knows these people that can make contact with them to get us a call, they need to become more persistent in connecting with us and get something going, and we'll get it going, because I haven't got the time to chase them and to continue to call them. They got to get to me. I know we had somebody who wanted to do something with a website for different things, and we'd love to get that going, but they never came around with, and this is like the third or fourth group of individuals that were interested, they never came up with a mock-up site and threw some ideas, and here's maybe a hat or a T-shirt, and, you know, here's a bumper sticker and those kind of things. And, of course, you know, I know they were looking into the booklets. I don't know whether they ever got a number for us on the booklets, which is the Jurist Handbooks. But again, if they're listening and you want to get involved with this and get something going, you got to get in touch with me. My phone number is 845-233-6560. You can get to me at john@nationallibertyalliance.org. But again, you know, phone call is really what has to happen. If we're connected on Skype, John Durash on Skype, and get a hold of me, and be persistent and pushy, and let's get something up, and let's agree on reasonable prices so that people can get a good deal, and National Liberty Alliance could also benefit from this, you know, some income to keep us going and do things. So, and anybody else that has a product that works in, you know, we have the Seed Vault and different things on our website here. I know we're connected with that. We also have storage food. So again, and I know the storage food links keep breaking. I don't know if that's what, maybe someone could check that to make sure that link is still working, because that broke a couple of times. We had to reconnect that. And so the people from the storage, food storage, give me a call when you get a chance. Let's make sure that you guys check that link from time to time, and let's make sure we're connected all the time so people can have the access to good storage food. And the Seed Vault, again, good. That's a great deal on the seed. But anyway, that's where we're at. Hopefully this other guy, Paul, will get to us on that, and we'll connect, and we'll get Silverback going again.
Okay. When we approach firemen as far as the emergency preparedness goes, is it okay? Is it a conflict of interest? Is it okay for a fireman to be a member of the Committee of Safety?
Yeah.
Why not?
Look, there is no conflict of interest if you're one of the people in that county, no matter what you do, including an elected individual. Okay, you don't want the elected individual to take a seat as a chairman or anything, but definitely should be a member and be involved. It's his community.
Okay.
But go ahead, okay. Gerard wanted to pipe in on that too.
Please.
No, that's okay. Look at a fireman is a no-brainer because they're a first responder, and they have lots of skills and lots of communication, and they're already part of a group of guys that have a structure, so to speak, a leader and captains and that, and so they're kind of like a little militia. They really are, and they're local people, and they live in the local place. It's a no-brainer, you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And then I was in anticipation of talking to people, and I've been talking to people, and I'm almost ready to hit that button and sign up for my county. But one thing I'm anticipating, and I have a general answer for it, but I was wondering if you and John had either a recording already.
I would just like to say, though, I'm sorry for interrupting because I'm excited about this. I'd like to say the numbers just jumped from 16 to 22, numbers of registered Committee of Safety. To keep that kind of a thing going. I'm sorry. Get back to you. Go right ahead.
No, I'm with you. That's very exciting. I was just thinking that maybe if John, you and Gerard could make a little write-up or a recording of your experiences, and Gerard being a town council member, so that you could explain succinctly why finding the quote-unquote right candidate won't work, why it hasn't worked, and why it won't work. But that's, I anticipate that as being something that we're going to have to answer. And I do have a short answer for it, but do you guys already have that somewhere on the website?
I guess that's for me.
It's for either
particularly,
of you.
Not particularly, but I would like to say that, you know, thinking we're going to get some kind of an individual to run for some office and that's going to be the savior of our problems and then we don't have to worry about nothing is really a naive thinking. It's not going to happen that way. There's only the people can save America. The politicians can't because they won't. And often they get up there and they get corrupted themselves. How many we've gotten in office and they got corrupted? It's the same old. It doesn't matter. But you see, once we can get justice back into the courts, we are going to re-push the committee man process. So are you still there? Am I coming through? Looks like I'm coming through.
Yeah. Yeah, you are, but I think maybe he lost his sound.
Oh, okay. But anyway, the committee man process is something we're definitely going to get back into once we get control in the courts. We're going to start pushing the committee men because the committee men play an important role in our society, in our local realm, so to speak, because they're the ones that can get out and really push the information and communicate the Constitution and different things of what we're doing and what we're accomplishing. And also, okay, the committee man, they're responsible for getting statesmen, not politicians, but statesmen. And we want to get involved with the political process, not with the politics. And there's a big difference in that. But that we'll save for another day. We were preaching that early on before we moved into the court processes, but we will get back to that because that is as important as anything else to take control of our communities. If you want control of your communities, it starts, I believe, it really starts first and foremost with the Committee of Safety. And then it starts also with working to create, out of that Committee of Safety, people can become administrators. There is no conflict of interest for an administrator for the grand jury and the trial jury to be sitting on a Committee of Safety. They all should be sitting on the Committee of Safety. And so there's no conflict there at all. There's no conflict with anything anyone is doing to get involved with the Committee of Safety, no matter what your business. Even if you're a bar attorney, you can get into your Committee of Safety. You have a right as one of the people to get involved. So anybody can get involved there, and we should. Grassroots, we got to get it fired up, we got to get it happening, and that's what has to happen. Then, of course, we need to get the administrations built in the counties. We need to get access into the court, take control of our courts. Then we have to get back in there. Now, once we get control of the courts, we're going to take almost overnight, we are going to take the committee man process back and give it to the people. And it'll be a grassroots level, a bottom-up instead of a top-down. And we'll talk to them and show them on how they can go out and find statesmen, people who are constitutionalists, and how they can put two or three or four individuals up there. Let the primary challenge take place. Let the people decide between as many people as we can find that believe in the Constitution, took a course in the Constitution, and is going to support and uphold that Constitution. And let's take them, and then we'll hold their feet to the fire once they get in. And that's a process that everybody is involved with. And if you find anyone that's not doing their job, that's breaking the law by not adhering to the Constitution, you go down to your local courthouse, you find the administrators for the grand jury, and you say, I'd like to talk to the grand jury. They'll make an appointment, and you bring it in, and the grand jury will make contact with that individual, straighten them up, or bring them under indictment. And that's how we got to operate this. And usually it could be handled by the administrators first. If they fail, then the grand jury can deal with it. And if they don't listen to the grand jury, then they're going to listen to a trial jury, aren't they? And that's how we're going to save this nation. We have to take all three points back. Committee of Safety, the grand and trial juries by we the people, and then the committee men, all three. And then we own America, the people. We will be in total 100% control from the grassroots. We will become the owners of this country once again. All right, Gerard.
Are you there? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I think we lost our caller. He was not having a good time there, but we appreciate his questions, and you can get back in the queue if you weren't done. Look at Diana from Southern Colorado had a report to give, and I haven't found her. So if you're out there, get in the queue. The last four numbers are 2643. Maybe we can find her, and I'll pick her. But in the meantime, because I'm not finding her, in the meantime, I'm going to go to our next question, who is Scott in South Carolina. Go ahead. You've been unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I was just wondering, in lieu of what has been going around as far as the latest executive order by President Obama of taking over our all resources, land, and so forth in peacetime and war, with the country literally falling apart around us and nobody's adhering to the Constitution, from the President, the Supreme Court, the Congress, to on down the governor, to the sheriffs. I was just wondering, what are we waiting on? Why aren't we doing that? That's my question. Thank you.
Why aren't we doing what? I'm sorry, you broke up.
I was just wondering, what are we waiting on to go to end of the federal courts? I mean, it's obvious we've got plenty to go in on. Why are we waiting?
First of all, to get into the federal court, they don't want us there. And if you go in and you play their game, they just kick you out because they're not. You have to go in an Article III court. You have to go in a court of record where the judge is just a magistrate, and you have to get a jury trial who is the tribunal. So. And one of the ways that we'll do that, and the reason that we're pushing these committees of safety so big, is because we need enforcement. Even if you get in there, look at the judges completely violate you, and then what do you do? So then we go and we give them a writ of error, and we indict them and all that. You know, we have to embarrass them. And we have to pressure them, and then we also need enforcement of sheriffs. Now, good law enforcement officials are not going to raise their head up until they see the people raising their head up. You can't expect a sheriff or anybody else to go in and enforce the law against anybody, you know, locally or otherwise, if he doesn't have his people behind him, because he's going to commit personal and political suicide. So. You should be talking to your sheriffs, and this is why. And look at, we've sent them lots of stuff, and the latest thing we're going to send them is, you know, you got to either lead, follow, or get out of the way. That's the next step. You either take care of the people, or we're going to remove you. And you don't need to wait for an election to remove a sheriff or any other public official, for that matter. That takes the people. It's not just National Liberty Alliance is the people. And I mean, we write papers under common law and the Constitution. Now, I've said in the past that that's the hammer and the nails. Hammer and nails don't build houses. People pick them up and hammer them in. And we built this thing from the top down, because when we went into the committee man, we said, look, we're gonna take control of the election process. We're gonna put good people in. And what we found out was they took that system, which was a bottom-up system where you're supposed to have a committee man in every precinct, which is not that big of an area around your house, a precinct. It's a couple square blocks. You're supposed to have a representative that knows who you are, that knows what you want, who's supposed to be wah-daying these candidates and asking them the tough questions, in order he'll say, look at, you're not getting my constituents' votes unless you do this, this, and this. And there's a ton of things we should be asking our candidates. You know, are you going to enforce the Constitution, being the biggest one? You know, there's lots of bad things out there, and are we making them answer those hard questions? And when they don't do it, are we embarrassing them? Are we meeting in force and even shouting them down at meetings? You know? We're not doing that, you know. We're not doing the job that we need to be doing for that. So they're abusing us. So let's get together. Yeah, we can get in the courts and we can run a case, and ultimately that's what we're going to do. And we're going to put all these affidavits are going to continue to come in while we're running the case. What we're waiting for is the critical mass and the enforcement that is coming, because I think it's coming, because I'm getting some good reports. Look at it. Everybody's fed up, including government officials, but the government officials that are on the inside are not going to step up to the plate if they think they're going to commit, you know, Harry Carey on their job or even on themselves. They need to see we the people insisting that we get due process, you know, that we have, that the people have relief, that the judges aren't violating that. And then they, you know, look, you set your committees of safety up. The committees of safety, if they can't figure it out on their own and take care of the problem, they're supposed to go to the grand jury. They're supposed to report it to the administrator, who then can file a paper and file it in the courts. I have visions of people going out and forcing this thing through the streets. Look, we have habeas corpuses that are written pristine. They're a lawful document that they have no right not to answer, and we should be marching with that. That habeas corpus is written on the jailer more than even the judge. You should be holding that habeas corpus up, and you should be saying, enforce the habeas corpus, open the doors, let our people go. That's where we are. We're ready for indictments, but are we ready? What we're waiting for is because we're not ready yet. We're waiting for the critical mass. Look at this. This is a war, and you don't attack a superior opponent head on if you're not ready. And we're not ready, but we're going to get ready, and I think we are getting ready. And there's a lot of stuff that's going down that's in our favor. We got, you know, we tend to concentrate on all the horror stories, but there are little points of light all over the place. There are successes all over the place that you're not hearing about. And I hear about some of them. I hear about the people that put the pressure on, went into court with 10, 20 people, you know, and prevailed. Look, in my community, they're taking 400 people's houses and putting them up on the tax sale roll. What's up with that? They're using an in rem process that violates due process. It gives you no due process. What are we going to do? I'm doing a case against them. And if they don't acquiesce and fix it, guess what? I'm going to go into federal court with 400 people. See how they like that. What are you doing? Are you guys, you know, think outside of the box? That's what we have to do. We have to think outside of the box, and we have to do what they don't expect us to do, because we've become too predictable. That's the problem. And once they realize that we know who we are and we know who our rights are, they won't want to mess with us. And a big part of it is shame. I mean, shame on you dirty rock people. You better your jail for your retirement account goes up. You know, that type of stuff. I don't want to go too far, but that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the knowledge that all the preaching and all the schooling and stuff that we're doing through NLA, and there's other organizations. You know, NLA isn't the only one. There's some other good organizations, and we have to partner with them as far as this goes. Look, the committees of safety are the easiest way to reach those other organizations, because you can get out there and give the word, and we can become a force of one then, because as we educate and as we understand what our options are, then we all start taking those options. Do you realize that we could shut all the traffic courts down in less than a month? If everybody went in and said, not guilty, I want a trial, they'd be done. Do you realize that New Hampshire has no vehicle inspection on the car? You know why? Because they had too high of a rate of noncompliance. The people would not comply, and they had to repeal the law because it was a high rate of noncompliance. And if you get a certain rate of noncompliance, it means the people have spoken. Why aren't the rest of us doing that? And we are. What's that?
I said we don't have inspection in South Carolina either.
Well, that's a good thing, because
they got rid of it. We used to have it.
Well, that means that they knew that was the straw that was going to break the camel's back. You just answered your own question. Why don't we have inspection? Because nobody wanted it, and they spoke out, and they crapped and complained. And guess what? It became very unpopular for the politicians to try to push that. And what'd they do? They nullified it. We got a gun law here called the SAFE Law, and they go, repeal the SAFE Act, repeal it, repeal it, baloney. You nullify it. It was never a law to begin with. It offered no power, you know. And those people that say we never had a government and it never was right and they handed it off in the beginning and you've been under martial law for 100 years and that, in their minds, not in my mind, I haven't been under martial law. Have you been under martial law? I didn't assent to that, right?
Look, yeah, I didn't agree to it, but the fact of the matter is the country has.
I know, but when we wake up and say we're not going to put up with that, that we want the 1789, when we go into court, we're only going to operate in a court of record, a common law court, guess what? Then there's no martial law. And even under their own stupid martial law rules that they think that we're under, which I don't know how you think that you could perpetuate a martial law for 100 years when there's no hostilities on our soil. It finally got to the point that they had to declare us the hostile people, right? We let them get away with it so long, they declared all of us enemy combatants. I mean, how crazy is that? But look at, there's under their own rules, it says that, let's say you had martial law going and there's no hostilities in an area, they're supposed to give you the Constitution. So if you want to play in their stupid game, guess what? They still have to give it to you. Where's the troops? Where's the civil unrest? Where's all this stuff that I can't get my Constitution? If you believe that they have a right to keep us under martial law, well, then follow the rules. Guess what? I'm entitled to a constitutional Article 3 court. I don't smell any gunpowder, do you? Where's the hostility? So their whole thing doesn't hold water. And so until when we get to that 100th monkey and the 100th monkey story where all of a sudden all the monkeys started washing their bananas on all the islands that weren't even connected. One mother started doing it and then another one and another one. It got to a certain point and when all of a sudden one day they were all washing them, and even on islands that didn't even have a connection, because of somehow their minds are connection. There's a power in the people, and there's a power in our spirit, and there's a power in our prayers. And there's a power in those things that we desire and those things that we truly want. You know, when we get off our butts and we start participating and communicating, that's when it ends. It ends when you unhook that pipe that they run into the back of our heads like the Matrix, and you stop letting them pump their programming into you. We've been programmed. Look, this system only works. Why? Because it's self-policing. Just remember that. We police ourselves. We tell on each other. We cooperate with it, and so it perpetuates itself. Anyway.
You know, going back to the original point here, though, concerning the critical mass, which is when we'll do what we have to do, bear in mind, we are entering that critical mass now. We are very, very close to critical mass. And I think the Committees of Safety is what's going to push us over that critical mass. Now, when we hit critical mass, we're not going to be waiting for critical mass to hit to start preparing for the courts. No, no, no. We already are preparing for the courts. We've been doing so for many months now. Preparations are being made, papers are being written, ideas and thoughts are being, you know, put together for this process, and a lot of things are being thought out to plan for what it is we have to do. And if we hit critical mass in the next few weeks to a month, I believe we will be ready to execute at that moment in time everything necessary to file in the courts what we need to file. Now, bear in mind, we have been filing in the courts. All of that is part of our court case. We've got something like 14 or 15 papers already filed in the courts. We got habeas corpuses filed in the court. We have papers explaining how there is a fraud going on in the mortgages. We're notifying judges. We're notifying sheriffs. And so on and so forth. And it is unfortunate we're going to have to go after some sheriffs. Sheriffs that outright say they know that the judge is breaking the law. They know that the mortgage companies are working with the judge and they're breaking the law, but they're going to enforce it anyway. a statement like that, that man doesn't belong being the sheriff of any county. That man belongs in jail for violating we the people, for warring against the Constitution, for participating and being part of a conspiracy to destroy our Constitution and destroy our way of life. And so, unfortunately, we do have some sheriffs out there that are like that, you know, and we're going to have to deal with them, and they're going to get caught in this net that we got out there. We threw a net, and we've been throwing that net out there for quite a few months, and the net is ready to be drug in. And we've got plenty to put into this court case and plenty of people to go after and plenty of people who are going to have to answer for them coming up and making war against we the people, warring up against the Constitution, denying people's unalienable rights and putting people in jail unrighteously without outside of a court of law and with no rhyme or reason other than they're just out there for vindictiveness and making money because it's all about RICO. So we're going to deal with that. We are preparing, we will be ready, and it is coming close, I think, and I do believe this Committee of Safety is also, this is going to push us to that critical point, that critical mass. Gerard?
Thank you, I yield the floor. Thank you very much.
Gerard?
Thank you, Scott.
Gerard,
yes.
I have Diana located, and I've unmuted her.
Okay, so go ahead, Diana. You can speak. You got the floor.
Well, good evening, y'all. This is Diana from Southern Colorado. I, as Ollie and you, Gerard, and Max, and a few of the others know, I'm trying to form a COS here in Southern Colorado. I just want to clarify a couple of points, if I may. First off, we have to live in the county, right?
That's right.
Okay. Second off, do you guys want us to go ahead and register these counties? COS before we have them formed?
Listen, absolutely. Look, if you are going to make the commitment to form them, then by all means register them. You see, by registering them and someone else goes out to form them, you don't have three or four people forming something in the same county, number one. Number two, someone will go out there and say, oh, Linda or Shannon or Gary, they already started one in my county, and there's the phone number. Let me give a call. Let me work with them. So you're going to start to build up people that way, too, that's going to find you. But once you make the commitment, you have to follow up on this commitment. If you're going to put your name up here with your state and the county and give us your phone number, then what you're saying is that you are going to start to get in contact with some liberty-minded people in your county, and there's lots of liberty groups you can contact. You probably already belong to one. Let me bring the message to them. Let me show them the video, which is a PowerPoint video. Let's get them interested, and as soon as that video is open, answer questions and say, okay, what is stopping the people right here, right now, from creating a committee of safety right this minute? Do you want to get together and say, who wants to do this and come up to the front? And do you guys want to say, okay, let's choose some chairman, let's choose a co-chairman, let's find a secretary, let's find a treasurer, and let's plan for the next meeting? And what do you want to put on the agenda for the next meeting? Everybody should get up to nationallibertyalliance.org/COS, Committee of Safety, COS, and get some ideas and thoughts and ideas and download as much information and paper. Read the history on the Committee of Safety. Watch the video again. Understand what's going on. Understand your power and start executing it. Let's we the people take back our nation. And look at, by doing this Committee of Safety, you will be supporting the we the people also, again, that's doing the administrations across the nation, in the counties, and the push that... This will help push all of our paperwork in the federal courts, and it'll bring us to that point of critical mass where we can finally file the next part of this phase of the case, where we're going to go in and we're going to do the business of the people and start bringing this nation back to where it belongs. But we need the people. Only the people can save America, and we need to do it with a critical mass across this nation. We're close to that point. Very, very close.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can contact Jan or your own district leader, your state coordinator, and find out who in the NLA is around you. That's a good start for the Committees of Safety.
And by the way, we've got 27 registered already.
It's a good start, but you know, and then once it gets going, it belongs to the people in the community. So you just put your name up there for contact. I got my name up, so I'm the contact, but I won't probably run it just like John is. I don't have time to do it, but I'm going to be a liaison. I certainly want to be the administrator to the grand jury in my county, so I plan on being, you know, very close to them, but nevertheless, somebody else should run the thing. You know what I mean? You get your board, and you do your meetings, and you figure out what's going to go on, and that's how it takes off. They're autonomous unto themselves, and they, you know, every community is a little different. And look at the things that are the same are the things that we can team up with from county to county, and where we'll do that is in the courts when it comes time. We'll team up on those issues.
Let me also request, because I'm looking at some of the things here out on the page where we have the registry, on a registry page, and anybody wants to see the registry page, I like Committee of Safety and come down and click Committee of Safety Registry, and you'll see all of the committees of safety that has registered already for this process and is making the commitment to go forward to get a Committee of Safety going in their counties. Now, again, if you want to pass, the control as far as, the contact information to another person, you could do so. As soon as you can get that other person, you get back to Robert and you tell him, hey, take my name off of my phone number. I'm with, I'm in Cook County, Illinois, or whatever it is that you're in. Take me off and take my phone number off and put this gentleman or this lady's number on, and their name is so-and-so, and here's their phone number. And then Robert will make sure he'll talk with one of the technical people to deal with that, to make that happen. The other thing I'd like to say, and Carl, I'm sure you're on the line right now listening, if you could go in and fix this problem. When anybody signs up, spell your state all the way out. Don't do the two-letter initials. This runs alphabetically, starting by state, and then alphabetically after that by county. And this makes it easier for people to find. If you put in your letters like NY or MI, it may be thrown away from New York or Michigan, and then someone won't realize that already one has been started there. So, again, spell your state out completely, and call when you get a chance. There's about four or five states out there that need to be fixed. If you could fix them, we'd appreciate that. By all means, if you're serious, go out and put your information, click on register, register your state, your county, your name, your phone number, and then perform your duty. Do not do this and not perform your duty. It is now up to you to make sure it gets started. You don't have to run it, but you're now taking on the responsibility to get it started in your county. Form it. Get it going.
No, I'm really cool.
Okay, thank you, John. I'm going to go to our next caller. It's a wireless caller. You've been unmuted. 0146. Can you hear me? Wireless caller, 0146. It says 605 area code. Going once, going twice. I don't hear anything. Can everybody hear me? Am I? Yeah, I guess I'm transmitting. All right, I'm going to move to the next one. I'm sorry. Get back in if you weren't there. We'll pick you up later. Okay, the next caller, it looks like Debbie from Virginia. You're on.
How you doing, everybody? This is Curtis from Virginia.
Hey, Curtis.
I'm trying to grasp this community of safety, and I had been thinking about doing something like opening up a talk show or something of that sort, just like we do on a Monday night call, but only on a talk show, and make it easy for people to contact just for those counties. Would that be okay to do that?
I don't see why you couldn't start a talk show, but I think you really need to make, once you get people signed up and stuff, in the counties, it's probably you're going to want some face-to-face meeting at a hall or something, because I think it's necessary to get to mm-hmm. know each other and in that way, you know what I mean? But there's nothing wrong with using TalkShoe to communicate and maybe have some meetings on organization and stuff. Look at you use, we have a lot of technology. Use whatever you can, you know what I mean? Whatever helps. whatever facilitators. Just don't get stuck on that, because I think if you do too much technology and not enough face-to-face, I think you lose something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I noticed that I do know, and I do believe that things are starting to happen within the political realm, because, going to the convention, because I've been participating in the last couple of conventions here. I can tell you, man, things are shaking up really, really big. There's a lot of fighting, over there trying to control and change rules, for the delegates and so forth. And, a lot of people didn't understand what was going on, but, they made it tough on them trying to, change things at the last minute, to do crooked things. That's the way everybody in there was, they weren't letting them get away with it. But it was very refreshing. I really didn't want to go, and I ended up getting begged to go, and so I was really surprised at how that worked out. It's turning out. There are people are waking up, and I've ran into a lot more people that are, I guess you call them sovereign citizens, but I'm running into them a lot more than what I used to. They're certainly out there. But that's all I wanted to say. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's a good confirmation, and you're right. And look at, I don't like to say sovereign citizen because they vilified that word. We won't play their game. But look at, if you're not sovereign, what are you? A slave? Sovereign, everybody think, they've captured the word citizen too. Oh, that means that you're in the District of Columbia. No, I go with you. We are sovereign citizens in a certain sense, but we're not terrorists.
I heard that kind of in a negative connotation, I guess. Yeah. A lot of them have changed the way they're doing that. They're more. I know this is the same thing, though. Man on the land, woman on the land. I'm the knee. They're using a lot of different terminology, but they're getting away from that citizen thing.
But
I think most people are still known by while these folks out here. Driving with no license, or they got an ID, driver's license, but it doesn't have any of the normal garbage on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's refreshing to see more and more people, and I mean both sides, of all races. It's been a pretty impressive experience here lately. The other thing is while I was at the meeting, I got one of the Senate runner-ups for our for the coming up election this next year. We helped him get elected a couple of years ago. Well, it's actually been 6 years for the state Senate. He's now running for the U.S. Senate. And we pushed him up over the top of the leaders. And before we did the final votes, because I made him commit to taking lead on ending the Fed. And he said he would do it. I got him to commit to it.
Okay, well, write it down and get back to us. Okay.
Yeah, man, we're pushing on that. Well, at least get one person in there, and the guy has done everything he has said he would do. He's the only one that's got a perfect record in this state.
Well,
I told him, I asked him, to the point, to make sure he's not a bar attorney, and I told one of the other fellows that's running for attorney general, he was a clerk for one of the Chief Justices of the Supreme Court, Mr. Thomas. He was a clerk for him. And I asked him if he was a bar attorney. He said, I had to take the bar. And I said, no, are you a club member? First, I told him, well, resign. And he looked at me really perplexed because I wasn't kidding. I said, then resign. But I had to qualify the question, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he understood what I meant, but I meant Bar Association. I said, you're not an Esquire or anything like that, the Bar Association. And he says, oh, no. And I said, okay, you're all right. So, people are pressing rules. A lot of people in there believe they know a lot. I mean, they know everything that's going on. I was really surprised how many people that were there that knew that. Anyway, I'm done.
Okay, thank you for that. Hey, the Fed has already ended. They just don't know it yet. They're bankrupt. They're done. They're finished. We're going back to real money, whether they know it or not. Anyway, Robert Spurley. Yes.
Yes, I'm Illinois, one of the Illinois coordinators, state coordinators. Uh-huh. And I think you remember the case where I talked about the judge changed the date and all that stuff, just all kinds of fraud. Well, my trial begins tomorrow. Actually, jury selection is tomorrow, but the trial actually begins Wednesday and will go through Thursday, I believe. Are we allowed to say, hey, you know, are there people in the area that would want to, you know, is this a good forum to do that? Or
absolutely, you should be. You okay. should be putting a call out to the court.
Oh,
watches.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
And
but
you
I'm
can,
using every and, avenue.
And coming here now is a good idea because if you do it too soon, people forget.
Yes.
So
okay.
you should give the date and the place. And you, look at
okay.
You know, we don't talk about people. We try not to talk about people's cases because we get lost. But something
not
like
the law.
You're going,
yeah, just
going
the place.
To trial tomorrow is very important to put that out
yeah.
there. So go ahead. You got the
tomorrow. Well, tomorrow will be jury selection only. So I don't really need the support there, and I don't want to put people out and burn them out.
Right.
What I need is Wednesday, the 18th, this week, Wednesday, the 18th, and Thursday, the 19th, 9:30 in the morning. This is in Rolling Meadows, Illinois, which is a northwest suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
So it is in room 107, and the address is 2121 West Euclid, E-U-C-L-I-D, Euclid Avenue in Rolling Meadows. So once again, it's 2121 West Euclid Avenue, room 107, Rolling Meadows, Illinois. And it's Wednesday and Thursday, the 18th and 19th, starting at 9:30. If you come late, that's okay. We need court observers. That's what I need, court observers, witnesses that might be able to do an affidavit later for appeal or whatever.
Right. But, everybody should bring a pen and a pad.
Yes,
and they should definitely write an affidavit of what went on in the court and offer it to Robert when he's done. And
yes.
and that, believe me, it makes a difference. It really does.
I really appreciate the time. I don't want to take a lot of time because I know there are lots of questions, but that, I think, is everything we need.
Well,
if anybody needs to call me.
How about that?
should I give a phone if they need to call me?
If you would like.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Area code 847-428-7930. 847-428-7930. Thank you, Gerard. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate everybody. Let's keep doing what we're doing. We're doing a great job.
Yep. Thank you very
much. All
right,
God bless. Thank you.
You too. Okay, we got Linda Hilger. I recognize that. Is that?
Oh, I like that you recognize it. That's a compliment. Thank you. Hi,
Go
guys.
Ahead.
First, thank you so much. You guys are incredible, and if we weren't all silenced, I think we would applaud the whole night. Secondly, I'm in Massachusetts. For anyone that takes on this role of community of safety, because they're so new, at noon Eastern time, from noon to 1 o'clock Eastern time, every single day of the week, except for the weekend, so just weekdays, you can call my number in Massachusetts under the Committee of Safety, and I want to learn, and I want to work with you to know how you're hitting up, you know, people that are totally asleep and zombies and how you're transitioning them, because this thing is wonderful. I went on to Meetup, and I searched for people in my area that had groups that were not happy. Smart meters, the prepper groups. I went to a prepper group. It took about, 2 hours of my time. What a landslide. People's jaws dropped. They were amazed at what you have put together and the power of getting the people awake. The prepper group said their biggest issue, and I'm really talking to everyone that's starting these, because we need to work together to do it right. The prepper group complained that there are many, many meetings that they want people to go to, but most preppers are right now thinking they're going to hide in their cellar, which of course won't work because then they're just guarding in their food until things happen. So we don't want to go there. So that prepper group said they're going to let the word out. They were psyched, and they're statewide. Smart Meter Woman was absolutely psyched because all of these people have been doing petitions and being totally ignored. So they have hundreds of members and thousands of signatures on this petition, but there's nobody that can do it. So I wanted to put that out. And then the question for you tonight, so go on to Meetup and see people that are in your area that are already unhappy because they jump at this. My question is, precincts, can you give me the proper verbiage for describing the layers of moving from precinct up to, I mean, that really means neighborhood, right? Up to the town, up to the county. Are there any other groups there that, as they get smaller, that you can give me the name for?
Well, actually, your precinct is the smallest group. That's the group that's it. That's a few square blocks around your house, and okay. And they're in the voting list. They break up the voting registration by precincts, so you find out what district you're in. You're in a district, and the district is broken up into precincts, and you can run in that precinct. You can get 5% of the people in your precinct signature. And that's enough to run. If somebody else runs in the same precinct, then what happens is they have to put you on the ballot and you have to run off. In other words, people actually would have to pull your lever. That usually never happens today because they got the whole system upside down. So most of the time, if nobody's running against you, the law says you're deemed elected and they don't put, so you never see them on the ballot because they've been appointing them, and that's a whole other story I'm not going to get into tonight because that's how they've ruined the system. They've turned them all into appointed people so they can dictate whose petition they carry, and if you don't behave, they fire you. The whole idea behind the committee man is he's an elected official, and he cannot be fired, and he carries whoever petition that his constituents tell him, not who the party boss tells him, like they're doing today. And I said I wasn't going to get into it, and I did. I'm sorry. But anyway, you got the idea, okay?
Yeah. All right, last for Robert in Illinois, you need people, go into your meetups and look for Illinois meetups and see if you can write them because they're right next to you. So it might not be a big stretch for them to just go by, especially if they believe that they're there just to be the witness. You know, they're there just to watch it. So you might get a good kick out. And the guy that is a fireman and he wanted to know if he could take part, one of the things that I want to do immediately for mine is to go to the local ham radio guys, the firemen, see if they'll give CPR little classes, really short classes to people, because those free little, and I'm going to my local shooting range to see if he'll give a very, very simple prepper group overview, just simply so that those businesses and those professionals can use their expertise to get the community involved. And at the same time, I'll have to tell them the National Liberty Alliance structure, so they're also learning at the same time. So just putting that out for the firemen and for Robert in Illinois. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you very much. That was good. Okay. The next caller is, it says Jan and Linda from Michigan.
Jan and Linda. Jan.
It's Jan. It's God is love, Jan. How you doing, Jan?
Got it. Thank you. Thank you. God is good. Been busy trying to figure out how to fight these monsters out there in the world. But the more I look, the more I find out that it's massive corruption everywhere you look in this world of USA. And guys, we need to get together look at taking these guys from bottom up. Like they say, the COS is the way to go. Need to educate the people in the community. And absolutely, they need to put these people out of power.
Look, if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately, right? And that's the trick. Look at they're abusing everybody in your community. That is a source of power for you. Tap into it. They're abusing everybody. They're abusing your neighbors. And they're you know, look at this snake is eating its tail. So go out there and find those people and get them together and start supporting each other, because like that what their name said there, you know, preppers hanging in their basement. No man's an island. You know, we are social beings, and you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and that's the beginning to this. You know, and you go in there, and let me tell you something. You can shame them. You get enough people, and you use the right words, you shame them into it. They will slink away if you can shame them.
Well, these worthless criminals are coming back after 4 months, and they're attacking my garden. And their complaint, I have some compost bins there, can you believe? And I have a fence that's leaning up against a tree. I mean, for crying out loud, I have 6.5 acres, and you mean that they got nothing else to complain about with anybody else out there? And I have a trailer, a 5x8 trailer sitting there, and with a plate on it, and that's blight. 5x8 trailer with a plate on it. You see, I guess it needs to be inside the building.
Listen,
but anyway.
You're a target, and you need a suit in the federal court. You need to be suing them, because you need to get together and maybe do a suit with all of you or whatever. Look, they only understand one thing when they get hit in the pocketbook. You know, and they're afraid of the people, believe me, because they're politically connected, and they fear the party, but they fear the people more. So if you can get people coming in and start your committee of safety and get some rumbling going on, and if they take you to court, like you know they will, just get in there with a bunch of people with their pen and pads making affidavits, because you're going to file those affidavits in the federal court. And I don't, you know, there's other paperwork that we're going to work on developing as far as that goes, as far as intimidating them and letting them know you're going to go into that court and using a certain language that they may think twice about doing it, because they won't want to go into a federal court, you know. And I'm not saying that that's always going to be. Look at sometimes you might find more corruption in the federal court. Look at all this BLM stuff. Don't forget. All that stuff is going on where? In the federal court.
Well, you know what they did? You know what they did with treasonists in the day? They sling them up from a Detroit truck on a boom and have them dangling down the street. You put that on Channel 2 and 7 and whatever else. And I tell you what, these guys will quit right overnight.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what they want, because they need you to do that to somebody so they can call out their super galactic weapons and fry you.
No. I'm talking about treason. We get these guys under treason, and
I see what you're saying.
And you take care of them that way. I mean, what does the military do? They do a firing squad and they take out a few, and then no more deserters.
Yeah.
So we're talking about treason.
Right now. We don't have a government that I would trust doing that, because I think they have you up there on the thing. Look, we got to fix it. There's no doubt about it. And the only way to do it is through a force of people. I mean, look, we have the methodology. We have the process. We know what the steps are. We know how to play that piano. You know what I mean? We know what keys to push. But, you know, those keys have got to be banging on the strings to make any noise. That's the problem. So we got to tune that piano so when we push the key, it hits the string. That's what's not happening right now. There's no resonance between the people and the system. And we can put that back in there. And the way we're going to put it back in there is through pressure. You know, whatever pressure we can exert. And it's much easier to embarrass them into doing things. And also, you can tone your paperwork so that the judge knows that if he does something wrong, his skin's on the line. You can design your paperwork so he understands that when he reads it, and it's not an out and out threat or anything. Like, I mean, you don't want to be rude. You know what I mean?
Well, I was hoping that NLA would be able to use me as a guinea pig, and we can get some of those letters written out. Because if I would write a letter, I just take. I would use the Detroit truck example. Detroit truck example.
No. Look at we're working on templates for different things. That's what John was talking about. And those templates will be something that you'll be able to take in. We'll talk. I don't want to talk about it now. This is stuff that we should be talking about in our district meetings and stuff. Look at and even committees of safety. Look at. You have a lot of talent out there, so discuss this thing with your committees of safety. And there's people out there that understand the court system, and if you take them to our site and you say, well, look at, go in there and listen to common law, look at some of these papers, the intelligent people, who knows who we're going to get. We got a lot of talented people out there. We need to catch them, and a lot of them have been hurt, and they got their head down, and they're scared. But I'll tell you what. They're going to be our best members when they come in, because they know how the system runs. They were in it, and they've been bit by it. So, you know, maybe you don't know a lot, but I'll bet you there's somebody out there that if you can get them motivated, they could do a good job. You could as a team, you would be, you know, unstoppable if you get, you know, it doesn't take, you know, one bit of talent can run a team of 10 people and probably do a lot of good stuff, you know. But anyway, I don't want to get off in that. I just think outside the box, and there's power in numbers and in the people, and that's what we have to do. That's what Gandhi did. He won by sheer force, you know. And there's like I said, there's 8 of us. Every, you know, we're 8-1, I think was the last count. So, you know, you just need, you know, how many people does it take to intimidate them, you know.
Hey, so, can you give me a holler tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll try to. Tomorrow I'm going to be real busy until later in the day.
What time roughly can I look for a call?
Like probably around five or six.
Okay. I will look between 5 and 6. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bye bye. We got a wireless caller coming up next. You've been unmuted. I heard you a little bit. 2643, wireless caller.
Oh, that would be me, George. Diana. There,
how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I was just going through, and I just went ahead and registered the county where I'm at. And or anything. I am a part of the Stand By Me movement, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And or anything. We are doing a rally this weekend, and we are trying to kind of touch on the COS as much as we can.
Right.
But we're in a hot zone right now, Gerard.
Yes. Yeah.
So how would I go about doing this without stepping on too many toes?
You mean starting the community of safety in your county?
Yes, sir.
Well, look at the. I think the easiest way to do it without. I don't know which toes you're worried about stepping on, but I think when you find, like, you go into the meetups and you find those groups, like they said, of people that are already thoroughly ticked off but don't know what to do about it. Look at, you're just asking them to come to a meeting. That's all it is. It's a meeting in the town, in your house even. And, you know, if you don't want to be bothered too much, set up your first meetings in a private house if you can. That way it keeps, you know, it keeps the public officials. They can't be taking pictures and names if you think it's that hot. You know, look, at you know the level that you're at, so you have to operate at the level that you're at. But never forget, you have a right to assemble. And you don't want to be stupid about it. We shouldn't have to hide in our houses. But guess what? No. A little bit of prudence goes a long way, doesn't it? So I'm not going to tell you what to do or what not to do, but you can step up your level of carefulness however you need to. But the reason I'm suggesting those groups is because they're already out there kind of making noise anyway. You know what I mean? And you don't have to worry about, you know, picking up an agent provocateur or anything like that. Look, I'm going to tell you something. If you're forming a committee of safety and they think they're going to do something to you because your name's there, they're going to have the full force of National Liberty Alliance. We're all going to team up on them I don't give a crap if we got if it's just writing letters. You know what I mean? Whatever we have to do, because you know they don't have the right to break the law. And I look at carry a cell phone camera on you, tape everything. Just be, you know, be prudent and be smart and be aware, and you should be able to do it fine. I mean, look at people know people, and as this thing moves out, you'll be able to get places that are secure. And when you have enough people, you don't even worry about it because you're secure in numbers anyway. And believe me, it's going to happen fast. People, look at the critical mass is here now. Everybody, most places, most people, especially in the hot spots like where you are, they know. More people know than you know, and they're looking for leaders, and they're looking for an outlet. I'm telling you, it's going to be like a religious revival almost. You know what I mean?
I just wanted you to clarify for me, Gerard, so that my husband here in the background could hear that part.
They're very good at fear. And who was that president? He was no good, but all we have to fear is fear itself. And that was true. And what did they learn? They learned that through all their psyops and their crap, if they can keep us scared that we don't raise our heads, then it works. But, you know, I wouldn't raise my head alone, though. You know, give them a whack-a-mole where you raise yours here, and that one raises their there, and that one raises their there. They get the message real quick. You know what I mean? So whatever we got to do, you know, and if there's any problems, you know, you have the whole NLA organization to complain in public, like right here. You know, we got a lot of listeners, and this goes out, and it gets blogged. There's power in this stuff. This is communication, and it gets out there, and everybody's watching right now. I got news for you. The whole world is watching, okay? In case you didn't know it, America is important to the whole world, and they're watching what we're doing because they're cheering for us. They're going, don't give up your gun rights, America. We gave ours up. We're the last holdout for the world, and you're the last people. It's gotten that bad, but we have the support of the world. And so this is the Wizard of Oz, because ultimately you're going to click your heels, and guess what? It's all going to go away in a puff of smoke. They're a fiction. They're a legal fiction, and they're easy to get rid of with the swipe of a pen. These corporations and these things that are non-government organizations that are operating, they have no authority, and they're not flesh and blood. So guess what? They're going to be easy to be taken care of when it comes down to it. Because once they realize we're serious, then we can shove the letter of the law down their throat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But don't forget, you know, the law kill it and the spirit quicken. So.
Yeah. Well, you guys got to remember too. I've always been known as the Mally Redhead. That's what they all tell me around here all the time. So
you got a reputation to uphold then.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. I want to slap you in the back and give you a pat and say, go get him.
Well, I'm going to go get him.
I know you will, but you know what? I'm giving you an attaboy ahead of time. I'm thanking you ahead of time because I know you're going to do it. You know what I mean? Okay. Very good. Anything else?
That was it, hon. I just wanted to get a kind of a, you know, clarification for him so that he wouldn't sit over there and panic because he just watched me register.
Well, you better get down to the bomb shelter right now. Obama's on the phone now. I'm only kidding. You know, it's ridiculous. You see, that's what they want us to think. You know what? They do have that system, but they only got one, and they're holding on to it. And guess what? They don't want to use it on you because you ain't that important yet.
No. I'm just the Mally Redhead from Southern Colorado.
Okay. Thank you, hon.
Thank you. And God bless y'all.
Thank you very much. God bless you, too. Okay. Next question is Crystal from Connecticut. Unmute yourself. *6, then 1. Crystal from Connecticut. She must be having some problems. Maybe I put her to sleep. I'm sorry, Crystal. I'm gonna I'm going to go to the next person, and if you had something that you want to really say, get back in the queue. There goes Crystal. And we got Eric from Georgia in her place.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I got dropped earlier.
Okay, I'm sorry. You were on top of the line, weren't you?
Yeah, it was.
anyway,
I appreciate what y'all were saying. It was great. A few more things. Do you know the history? The committee men and you and John have been talking about it for a long time. I'm just curious. Does that actually come directly from the committees of safety? The committee men, the whole thing itself?
I don't think so. I mean, look at our forefathers designed that system on what they read out of the scriptures and the Mosaic law, and then the Anglo-Saxons coming across and meeting that. So that whole committee man system is out of, let's see now, John knows this. It was either Abraham, or no, it was, yeah, it was Abraham, or no, what's his name, in the desert there. And they formed their committees, their families. That's how they ran it, Aaron and Moses. And they ran that through a system of 10 and 10 and 10, you know, and nothing got to Moses and Aaron unless it affected the whole community and they couldn't figure it out themselves. So that's the whole beginning of government of the people from the ground up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And back before they ran with a king, you know, Moses was like the top guy, but you know, they were under the direct law, and that's how they saw it. Look at every man you took your family. It was the golden rule, you know. And so most of the time, 99% of the stuff we go through, if we run it like that, it doesn't get up to that level. You know what I mean? Because people are running themselves from the bottom up, and that's what we've lost, you know.
Anyway,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get into a big thing, but that's...
No. That's perfect. That's what I wanted. I appreciate it. How do you find out in your town, in my town, it's a big town, it's a city, how do you find out how many homes they're taking in Ram? How would I go about getting that information?
It's your public, it's the tax sale. They have to put it in the paper.
Okay.
They have to. It's a public knowledge. They list them right in there. You know, they humiliate you. They put you in there. Tax and first sale. You know, and it's part of the process of their Imran process is to put a notice in the paper. You know, but anyway, we won't. So that's a good place to see what they're doing, and it's also a good place to make contact with those people. And find out what their stories are, you know.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Two more quick things. You once said, and boy, I sure did ring like the truth that it is when you said it, but you once said that if your house can be taxed away from you, you don't own it. And so this whole REM thing, and I'm wondering, and I know we don't want to get the cart before the horse here or anything, but why can't we do away with property taxes? I mean, people get old at some point, and they're going to stop working. And they're going to lose their house.
I got news for you. Property taxes, the way they are, the way they're doing them, are totally unconstitutional. They don't have the right to tax your private property the way away from you, much less. They don't have the right to tax it in the first place. And when you go into these tax laws and you read them, what you find out is they're written in such a way to make you believe that you're a commercial entity doing a commercial thing, you know, and that's why they're able to tax you, because residential is a commercial term and they play in word magic, you know what I mean? And so because what's a resident in a hospital? He's passing through. So your residents, they're acting like you got a motel there. Did you pay yourself lately for sleeping in there? You should, because you're doing a commercial activity, whether you know it or not. All right, you get the idea.
Yeah, I got the idea. And then John was talking about how this one fellow's going to come up with a page about the radio and the receiver, and I'm real excited about that because I want to learn more aside from what I've already looked up online. But you seem to know a little bit about it. What would you do Gerard, yourself, if you were going to go tomorrow to the radio store, what would be the equipment you'd get just to be able to listen to the people who are on ham and then be able to talk to them? What would you get?
Well, you could listen to them, but, you know, and the thing with talking to them is you're supposed to have a FCC license. And you don't need a license to listen to them, but you need a license to talk on those bands, because there's a lot of different frequencies, and, you know, they expect you to know the rules. And it is a little bit, you know, everybody's very respectful, you know what I mean? It's the best group of people I've ever met. I haven't been on because I've been busy, but I used to do it. I used to be up at night talking to everybody all over the place. And they have their own community. So, you know, you should get whoever is in the local area that's a ham, and see what they got. They have repeaters that you can get. Take a little radio that will hit it. You can talk all the way down the coast on repeaters, which are big antennas that they stick up high somewhere. And these are all run by people, you, me, citizens' band. The government's got nothing to do with it. Sometimes they give grants, like they're giving grants now for all our fire departments to get ham radio. Which I think, you know, it's an idea whose time has come, man. You know, the last two things we had where the communications went down, it was the ham guys that got out. We had the ham radio guy here, the local. He had a trailer. He had to run up the mountain, and he sat in that trailer for like 12 hours straight, relaying stuff from up, you know, up one side and down the other to get the calls through. So now, if we get them in every single fire department, guess what? One poor guy don't have to go sit in a trailer, you know, in the middle of the woods somewhere, relaying and making sure the stuff gets through, you know?
Yeah.
The fire departments would have it. They're diverse in every community. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that pretty much takes care of it. I understand about the rules and being polite, and I totally get that. But, you know, I mean, at this point, the idea of getting permission to assemble and speak is a little upsetting. You know what I mean?
No, listen to me. Listen to me. You can buy the ham radio. You don't need a license. And I would buy it, and I would read all about it, and I would be studying my book, and I would have that thing ready to go. I'd have it all set up. Because if you're going to go through the trouble of getting a license, you're going to want to use it. But in an emergency, guess what? It don't matter.
Yeah.
And that's even by their own rules. In an emergency,
absolutely,
you can walk up to a cop car and pick up his receiver and call in a problem because he's laying there bleeding or whatever. You think they're going to do anything about it? Of course not. The rules say in an emergency, anybody can use it. And if you have a license, you yourself, anybody in that house can use that as long as you're there in the household. And you're responsible that they use the proper etiquette. You got to sign on and sign off. But you can, that's how you learn it in a home. You get one person who has a license, you kind of supervise it. And look at, you talk to your wife down 30 miles down the road, you know, back and forth to home. It's the greatest thing in the world, let me tell you what. And there's a lot of good people out there. They're good people. Anyway,
excellent.
We've got a lot of people. I don't want to take up time.
Okay, no, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Subject, you got me talking about it. It's your fault. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerard. Take care.
Okay. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Okay, our next person is Connie from Connecticut. You got the floor. Are you there? Connie from Connecticut. I put somebody else to sleep, dang it. Well, get a couple Z's for me. If you want to get back in, go right ahead, and we'll take people up until we close. I feel like a fish jock.
Hello, is it Daniel? Are you queuing me?
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, you can hear me? Good, great. You're queuing me.
Yeah,
so, Gerard, are you? You guys are great too. I'm trying to spread the word. I'm over here in Eastern Oregon, Wallowa County, and you know, I know there is a committee of safety. I don't know if they're connected because this is a new thing. I think, but they would be if they knew. And so I try to spread the word. And I've been listening to you guys.
We got the site up, so that's send them there too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I link to it. I've got a site, SaveAmericanNow.com. I link, like I've probably got you guys linked 5-6 times on there. And it's just an information site. I'm not selling nothing. Right. I'm trying to get them to take the ads off, but they keep changing the owners. It's because it's on a free server.
Right.
But it is a site that's been getting 20 million hits, so I know a lot of that traffic's going to you guys. But I tried to register a couple months ago, and it wouldn't let me when it got to – it's weird. It wouldn't let me register. I put Oregon, and when it said state, I was trying to register online. When it said state and I put Oregon in, it just refused to process it. So I don't know exactly why it was doing that, but that was a few months ago. I tried it 3-4 times, and I just – it's a
– So you never got in
browser.
It? You never got in it?
Yeah, it didn't let me register with the NLA, right?
Well, you have to.
Yeah, just kept.
We should. You should be able to call Gary or Carl and get that fixed.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's Firefox browser that I use. I don't. Or something. A browser deal. I don't know. But
I think John used
the question.
To use Firefox. But go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. The question I have is they've been hitting me really hard over here because. I'm not going to get into the case, but it basically was brought into court under some accusations. And, assuming that they follow Oregon law, I basically wanted to set for trial, and they denied that. And so I've been keeping records on this, and I've been trying to get explanations. I'm not a lawyer, so I kind of did a crash course on the Oregon law procedures and filed it in the appeals court and in the Supreme Court. They just didn't want to give an explanation because they don't have one. They just violated the law, Article 1, Section 17. Right, Article 1, Section 17 of the Oregon Constitution says in every case you have a right to, which probably would have took care of the whole matter. But so basically, I've been putting that on the national. Well, that happened, or that was originally brought in the court in 2013. So now we're almost 2.5 years later. I had even filed motions to try to get the judge to follow the law again before I started putting it, trying to get it through the other courts. And, they won't provide an explanation because they don't have one. So then I have some, I can't verify this, but that it got on Scalia's desk 3 months ago, but then he took a vacation and died. So I don't know. Some people think that he was murdered. This is a spiritual war. You're right, the people, we all got to work together to save this country, but, really only God can save America, but God works through people, and it's a spiritual deal. I forgot who said, if we're not governed by God, we'll be ruled by tyrants. And
exactly.
It just, right. I want to make an appeal for everyone listening, just to pray for me, too, because in trying to deal with this, it's hard to get any support for this. The community, and I don't know if it's because it's so oppressed around here or if it's just people are too selfish or whatever.
I think it's a little of both, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, they're making up the local Enterprise City Police here, and they've got some issues I've been trying to bring to the attention of the Justice Department in Salem, and I'm filing DPSST reports, and then I'm trying to get – that's a hard thing – but I've got their ear a little bit. But they're trying to basically throw me in jail. They're making up charges. Even this week, they're going to arraign me on some completely made-up charges. I'm getting hammered. I want to ask people to pray for me. The next couple weeks and months, they're really hammering me hard. And yeah, like that whack-a-mole, because I got no support, I have to, stick up. It's not just my rights, it's everybody's rights. Everybody's rights are being violated here. Exactly. Anyway, and what you're saying about federal court, I am looking for somebody to kind of help. A lawyer, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so somebody that can bring, because this is an easy one, which I think is why it got on Scalia's desk, because it's an easy case. It's like tell Oregon to follow circuit court, follow Oregon law. But none of the other ones wanted to do it. In May last year, Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court, Thomas Ballmer, he just sent it out with no explanation because they can't provide an explanation. They They violated my rights and the rights of 4 million, or whatever the population of Oregon is, 4,100,000 citizens of Oregon. And there's a lot of people that are aware of this because I've been trying to link it up and put it online, and I'm not really a computer guy. But it's really, they're hammering me. Every time I get back on my feet, either, you know, somebody makes up something new and they just pull me in. And then part of that's because it's a small community. So they're making, it's weird. You know, I'm uncovering a lot of corruption. The chief of police here, he resigned because he couldn't handle it. They can't, nobody wants the job because there's no corruption. So I'm asking people to pray for me though, specifically Daniel Paul Sticca, because, I'm kind of point guy on this and they want to put me in prison on trumped up charges for like 2 years. And, or they want me to say I'm mentally ill because I'm asking them to, I asked them to actually follow Oregon law, you know, not them, but part of the system that's connected with, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just take all the talk time, but,
time. That was good. And look at, would you be willing, have you filed an affidavit on this?
I've been keeping the records. I've got all the records. I've got the transcripts, the audio transcripts of the proceedings, because they were being recorded. I made sure to speak clearly that saying this is a hearing, not a trial. When I was going to set it for trial,
listen,
and then
Daniel,
let me
stop you a minute because I don't want
to. Let me just ask
time.
A question. I just came in on this conversation.
Yeah, he needs to fill out a thing.
Was he a police officer? Is that
Am
what
I a police?
No. Well, I heard you talking about the chief of police and resigning. People didn't want the job because of the corruption.
There's
and I was
a lot
wondering
of.
If you were involved in the police force and were experiencing the problems.
I live in a real small community. Enterprise is like, it's a town of like 2,000 people in Joseph. Well, the whole county's small. It's a big county, but it's a small. There's like 5,000 people, 3,000 people in the whole county. But the city of Enterprise. Yeah, it's just a small department that has issues with some of the officers doing drugs and stuff. So, and there's blackmailing and stuff going on. And I've uncovered these issues, and it's
overwhelming.
Are you
on the police force?
No, I was not on the police force. I was not.
Because we do have a situation where we have an individual who has approached us, and we're going to help him. And he was police of chief, police chief. What is it?
Chief of police.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to mention where he was the chief of, but anyway, when he took the position, he found out that there was so much corruption, they were expecting him to go along with it, and he refused, and he started to collect data and get information and reported it and so on and so forth, and he had nothing but grief from this, and it got to the point where he had to step down as chief of police, and he went back to becoming a lieutenant, but he's not happy what's going on. They threw it out of the court, saying that he didn't have standing or something of that nature is really ridiculous. And we're going to take his case on to deal with this problem. It's a local situation for us. This guy is the chief of police here somewhere locally. And he's not getting anywhere with reporting the crimes. And everybody's in on it. And this is the kind of case we want to get involved with. This is the kind of case we're going to blow up nationally. We're going to work with this guy. We're going to help to assist him in the way he wants to go. But behind the scenes, we're going to bring this into the federal courts with us, with a lot of other things. And by the way, anybody that has... All right, thanks. Maybe we can just... Let me mute you, Paul.
I'm
coming through you, Paul. We'll unmute you.
John. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
I just did it because I was
trying.
That's how I muted
Paul
you.
But anyway, anybody who wants to do an affidavit, where particularly in cases where they came in with SWAT and knocked down the door. I mean, we have a case where the Department of Education has their own SWAT team, and they came in and knocked down a door, and it was the wrong door to begin with. They knew it was the wrong door because it wasn't where the person living, their spouse was living there, and they knew that they were no longer living there. They ransacked the home. They frightened the children. They had them locked up in the police cars outside for 2 or 3 hours. And this was the Department of Education coming in with their own SWAT team. This is how bad it has gotten. And now And the reason they came in and knocked down the door and treated him like a hardened criminal ready to kill everyone in the world here, you know, the way they came in with the SWAT and everything, was because they believed that that there was fraudulent information when they filled out some kind of a form in order to get some funds from the government. Something of that nature, student loan, yeah. And so for this, they think that they have the right to come in with SWAT. They come in with SWAT with everything. Anybody who's been raided in any way, shape, or form, especially by SWAT teams, and you want to do an affidavit, preferably no more than 2 pages, 1 to 2 pages, to add to our case, which is going to be a national case, get it into us because we want to bring as much crime as possible to show all the corruption and police brutality. Anybody who's got a police brutality situation where they want to do an affidavit, please do an affidavit. Get in touch with us. Get in touch with Linda. Linda at nationallibertyalliance.org. Get her the copy of your affidavit and let us put it part of our case. But anybody with anything where they're being abused in the courts, and we don't want anything long-winded. We don't want anyone to be a lawyer. We just want them to tell a story, 1 page, 2 page max affidavit, telling us your story. They came in and took my children. They came in and they stole my home. They came in and they raided my home. They came in with SWAT. They killed my dog. I mean, whatever it is, get that to us, and we will make it part of our case that we're going in. We need as many affidavits to show that there is the police corruption all over the place. There is a major problem in America, and we, the people, are finished with it. We're done with it, and we're going to fix it. And that's exactly what we're here for, is to fix all of these problems, these people just totally out of control, and bring them back under the Constitution, and if necessary, put them where they belong, and that is behind bars. So I just want to get that out, so please participate with that. I just got back, so I wasn't listening to that particular call, so I didn't know. I thought he mentioned something about police chief. I thought he was one. Right. But just to let everyone know, I just clicked on the refresh button on a number of registered committees of safety, and we now have 31, which is pretty good, but we want more. Anyone who's come in kind of late to this meeting, please go back, rewind, download the MP3, listen to the first hour, hour and a half of our program, because we're really focusing in on some important stuff, and if you missed it, you need to hear it. We need to save America, and this is the plan to save America. So please download the MP3. You'll find it on a Monday night page. Listen to it, and then participate. Follow what a lot of other people are doing. Start registering committees of safety for your county. Thank you. Back to you, Gerard.
This message was brought to you by John in Corporate. No, okay. I'm gonna unmute Daniel Paul Sticka.
Okay.
You're feeding for your speaker, but look at Daniel Paul Sticka. Is that how it is, Sticka?
Yeah, yes, sir.
That's his name. He's asking for your prayers. And listen, Daniel, you should do an intake form just so that you have your case on file with us, because
okay.
We can take them only so far, but when you get to a point where you need it, at least all that information, we will have it, and wherever, and you can take it at some point and put it into the court when time is right, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
So that way there, at least we have it and we're watching, you know.
I'm going to prepare that, and I'm learning about, like, this DPST that regulates police, and specifically the judge is the primary problem. The judge, it's kind of started and ended with the judge.
What doesn't surprise me about that?
And I think one of the, I'll finish with this, and one of the reasons I think they're going after me now, and this is pressure coming, because I asked the DA to convene a grand jury to look into indicting the judge for not following Oregon law. It's a step that I hadn't done. I have that documented. And then she just got completely, I just start coming after me. I mean, they are making stuff up, wild stuff up. They want me in jail, and
you're in their face. You're in their face, and
yeah, I've got them mad. So that's all brave.
Mad,
so
now, instead of making them mad, you know, do your committees of safety and go in there with local people and embarrass them. And they'll go from mad to being embarrassed, and then the next thing you know, they go, "Holy mackerel! Look at all the people that are mad at me." Next thing you know, they'll turn tail and run.
All right.
Because
well,
they
thanks
know what the crimes are.
I'll try to listen and get in next Monday too. And thanks for the time, and appreciate your prayers because they got me coming in Wednesday to rain me on the charges they're making up. I might have to play this some kind of game. They want me to declare me mentally ill because I asked. It all started when I asked them to follow the law. So now they're making up charges, and I'm going to put it to a jury trial. But it's not safe. I'm going to try to move the venue.
Look, let me tell you something. They cannot force you to do a mental examination, and do not do it.
Okay.
Don't even go there because it's a trick. Look, right. There's other things you can do to stay out of that. You don't need to bow to that, because it's just going to put you in a place where you don't want to be. I'm not trying to scare you, but. If they'll drug you up and stick you in a corner, you'll behave well, won't you?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, or jail, though. I mean, it's kind of, it's
I'd almost
less...
prefer jail to that. So,
not
for nothing.
I just, I've lost two jobs because over the last, let's say, 6 months, because they've arrested me twice on false charges. The last time it was April 1st. I had to borrow money. That's what I'm saying. This stuff's hammering me. I still have people that want me to work because I'm a good worker, here locally, but, labor, and I'm a musician, I've got a lot of stuff, and it's weird. I can't get more people working together, and I try to get the local churches working together, and everybody's just, I just point them to
community, and they're scared. They got them intimidated.
Yeah. So I'm gonna, work on the, trying to get the Justice Department down here is hard because it's not. There's just, to them, maybe it's petty, but it causes a lot of damage when, there's one person that they can't prosecute on drug charges because the drugs disappeared out of the evidence locker. And, this has been something that I've heard about for years here, and I've been here 10 years. But I've got a lot of family and nieces and nephews, so I want to protect everyone. And I'm going to work on the Committee of Safety and getting with the ones, I know there's one locally, like I said, they're not affiliated, but if they should be like-minded, because I know not everyone here knows, and it's hard to get press on it. The U.S. Observer was kind of covering it, and I've actually had some, I think InfoWars got some of it on it, because it's so blatant, it's just such a blatant violation.
Look, tell them, just bill yourself as, I'm the guy that got Scalia killed, how's that?
No, I...
Get bigger now, not smaller now.
Hey, but maybe this is the canary. This case is the canary in the coal mine because they want to take everybody's rights. They don't want everyone to have. They want to roll back 800 years of civilization. This goes right to the Magna Carta. So I'll work on preparing an affidavit to give to you all. And thanks. And I'll let you go. But my number's on there. If you want, anyone you have any questions or want to leave me a message, it's on the website or the email. This is SaveAmericaNow@mail.com or DanielPaulSticka@mail.com. And then my number is 541-263-2391.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless all of you.
God bless you, too. Okay. Quickly, I'll get to the next question, try to get everybody. North Carolina, Thomas, you've been unmuted.
Hello, Gerard. This is Mark over north in Pender County, North Carolina.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. One thing I was thinking is, so far as the COS is the start off in your neighborhood or your precinct, and then once you get that established, link arms with your neighbors, and the next. Area over and help them get started, and we just build out like that. And
that's the idea. It's natural, it's organic. You put something in that's organic, it will grow. You try to put something in that doesn't fit and it's not organic, guess what? The body rejects it. So this is the committees of safety are an organic unit. And if you put the seed in, it'll grow in the community. All this other baloney that they've been giving us, all these other things they've been facilitating us, they don't work and they don't grow because they're foreign. And the people can't get their heads around them. So this Committee of Safety will grow. If you go out and build it and start it, it will grow. Trust me, because it's the time is now. Okay, I'm sorry. I got one more minute.
Right.
And I
with that, yeah. I think we got to come to an end. Well, you can take one more minute. Go ahead.
Okay. Rhonda from Washington. Quick, go fast. You got...
information for you. Talking about the little radios so that we can communicate.
Yes.
For $80, I purchased the Baofeng, is the brand name, through Amazon. The highest power that they have, you can get a license with it, and you can attach it to repeaters, so you have that capability. Like I say, $80 for the entire kit. And the second thing is, under the bylaws of the Committee of Safety, and this goes to what John said earlier about titles of nobility, bankers, bar attorneys, etc. Number four says, each potential member must not have lost his citizenship as a result of the titles of nobility, according to the 13th Amendment. This would include bar attorneys, bankers, active duty law enforcers, and other persons who acquired a position of privilege or honor, which should be included under the intent of that amendment. Does that bar the attorneys, bankers, et cetera, from being a member of the COS? Or only
attorneys can be members of the COS. Of course, we got to be careful and watch these people because they may bring in poison. And, you know, lawyers often do. I saw that there was a great liberty group out at two counties from me, and we visited numerous times. And then all of a sudden, you know, the guy who was running it, he moved out of state, and his son was running it for a while, and I don't know what happened with him. Next thing you knew, he went out there, and a lawyer was running it. And boy, did they take him down the wrong path. I mean, we can't allow these people to take control. There's got to be people control. Anybody elected cannot be any of the board members. Not that the board members have any more power than anyone else, but they are the most active. They're the ones that, you know, hit the gavel and, you know, control the room. And we don't want, and if you put a gavel in a lawyer's hand, you'll never stop gabbling, you know, babbling is the right word. So you don't want to do that. He'll think he's a judge for a while. We'll all be in prison, you know? Huh?
I want to correct her on one thing. Listen,
yeah.
A police officer has the same oath as a soldier does. The bar attorney has an oath to a foreign corporation. That's the difference. You can't say no police officers because they're police. They have the same oath that a veteran does, and they're bound under the Constitution. A police officer should be an oath keeper, okay? Just by virtue of the fact constitutional, and that's. But the bar is a little different.
Anybody that is an elected individual, appointed individual, by all means can join the Committee of Safety. They're one of the people. They need to be there. You need to connect with those people. We need to educate them and bring them to a real education, not the fake education that most of them have. And we'll open their eyes, hopefully. But the key thing is this. You know, you have a sheriff. You want to give him a position of being the constitutional officer. And you'd love for him to speak and talk a little bit about the Constitution. Sheriff, tell us about the First Amendment. Tell us about the Second Amendment. Tell us what you know about jurisdiction. Tell us what you know about due process. Tell us what you're going to do to protect us. What are we going to do? What's the plan? And do you understand that you're in charge when the emergency comes? Not the FEMA, not the some town board member or the chief police. No, you, Sheriff, you in charge of the entire county. You are the top cop, and everything must go through you. And you have to make sure that the Constitution is upheld and that everybody is getting their due process and that you really are protecting the people. So you want to give him a place of position inside your Committee of Safety, and him or his under sheriff or first lieutenant, whatever they call them, anybody, and any other deputy. You want everyone that you can to come in there. You want all of the people to come. But you really really want to fill the room with a lot of regular, liberty-minded people, and we need to take control, and we need to be teaching these people. You know, one of the things you might want to do, we have a lot of videos you can download, probably a lot of them, if you know how to do that right off of our website. We'll go to YouTube, click over to YouTube, and we have huge numbers of videos that explain what's going on here, what happened, and how America got to where we're at, and all the crimes that have taken place, and subversion against the United States of America, and so on. You know, if you start your meetings at 7, you might want to announce try to have it in a place where you can get some food, you know. I mean, you know, back room of a restaurant or something where you can get there early and people can, you know, buy something to eat, get there at 6. You know, the meeting will start at 7, but we're going to show a flick at 6. Anybody wants to come for that, come on over, be an educational flick, so on and so forth, have your dinner with us, and then we'll move right into the meeting at 7. That's a way to bring the people that are in government that don't have a clue on what's really going on, to bring them up to par, to bring them to an understanding of what's happening. Whatever it is we can do. I'll give you the last 5 seconds. We're already 1 minute over. But go right ahead. I was just going to say
that I was reading verbatim from number 4 under membership under the laws of the Committee of Safety. So that active duty law enforcement officers is in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you might
I don't know which paper you are reading. There are some papers that we pulled in on the history and people have done different things. Are they in consistency with what we're saying or are they in opposition?
No, this is off of our website, Committee of Safety, Volume 1.
Oh, okay, yes. That's the history we pulled up. There are 2 volumes, and and it gives the good with the bad. Remember that. One of the things we have to remember, and this is extremely important, and we'll write a short paper on this, is we've got to remember that committees of safety could be used if gotten in the wrong hands. You get someone with a lot of charisma, and they start, they're a Pied Piper, and start to take down the committee into a different direction and cause problems instead of good. One of the things we're trying to drive into people, once you get this thing together, commit to the principles of God. Commit to have a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. Do the right thing, make the right decision, and go forward. And each one of you should correct each other. Let's keep everybody in honor. Hey, Joe, you're getting out of honor. You know, Mary, you know, you're not being too considerate of people. We can't be doing those things. Whatever it is. We got to correct ourselves. We have to police ourselves. And a committee of safety could go rogue and go the wrong way. But generally speaking, the people, I think we're going to be able to do well. We're going to give people as much information as we can. And, you know, look at National Liberty Alliance is here in order to facilitate an organization of the communities, communications between the different communities, education, and also teaching principles, and also giving advice. If people have questions, we'll give you some advice. If we don't have an answer, we'll seek out an answer. We'll get it to you. We'll find out what is the right way to do things. And let's be doing it the honorable way. That's the key. But with that, I got to close down because we're like 8 minutes over.
Thank you.
God bless everyone. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And please, Thursday, we have a meeting, organization meeting. It's a national meeting right here in this room, Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's organizing the whole nation and driving ourselves together on a grassroots level to do what it is we have to do to save this great nation of ours. So please, get involved. Thank you. Good night. I won't lie.